with you, people. This is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Yes. Off for another day of broadcast insolence.
I know we have a lot of important things to get to, and we will get to all of them. But first, I thought you should know that Johnny Depp is planning to marry his new 20-something Russian go-go dancer who's moved in with them. And so that's happening. And, you know, he met her, and he's in love again. So
I did indeed meet her. What's her name?
Paulina is her name.
Paulina, right.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Oksana?
Nope, it's definitely Paulina.
Paulina, right.
Yeah, right. A couple years older than your daughter, Lily Rose, but she's...
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Really.
Came to the U.S. to further her dance career.
You know, I'm from Kentucky.
Sounds like true love, Johnny. Good luck.
It is true love. She's a few years junior.
You're 55, Johnny.
Yes, me.
She'll work out just fine.
She's lovely, lovely. How old is she?
Well, they don't know because she's from St. Petersburg area, and there's no actual way of checking, according to them.
No birth certificates or anything like that.
No, right? Nothing that they've been able to dig up in the celebrity news.
So we assume she's older than 14.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. She's got several years of dance experience.
Yes, right. That's why I'm marrying her, because she can dance like on a pinhead.
Came in second in the go-go dancing competition in 2013.
Correct.
After moving.
Yes.
To the U.S.
I really do love her. What's her name again?
Paulina, not Oksana. Paulina. Don't say that to her. I think she'd get very upset. You know, last we heard from poor Johnny, he was suing his managers. He was suing Amber Heard for trashing him.
She didn't bring up Amber Heard, please. Then, whatever you do.
Well, I had to because that was in the news lately. She sued you, and then you trashed her closet in her house or something. She showed pictures of all that.
She's a horrid, horrid, horrid human being.
I like Johnny's really awkward cologne commercial where he's standing in the desert mumbling random things.
Sauvage.
Sort of like McConaughey in the car commercial. Yeah. Some way less... cool, like it's just so low rate.
It smells just like sweat and pineapple.
Pineapple,
yes, yeah, sweat and pineapple. It's a very lovely scent. Annette loves it very much.
Who?
Paulina.
Paulina. Yeah, she loves it. She loves Sauvage. They paid me $1 million to do that, so I'm pretty good about it. And that's money that Amber can't get her White Walker hands on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. She's still suing him.
We're 4 minutes of the show. First Game of Thrones reference.
I know. I still like Johnny, and I do hope things work out for him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
He's a talented actor.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Johnny being from Centerville, Kentucky or something. Mm-hmm. Danville, Kentucky. He's got the accent. You can tell. Everybody from Danville talks just like that.
Owensboro, officially. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah. There he is. Speaks just like everyone back home.
Is he living in France, as he likes to say, with the...
No, she moved Oksana? Into his... I think it's a California area.
Oh, no.
She moved into. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So that's...
Think she knows Melania?
Was she sent by the Russian government?
She's not Slovenian. She's Russian.
No, is there a difference? What goes on there?
I think, there's a big difference.
All right.
But he made her sign a non-disclosure agreement because anybody who shows up at his house, he has to do that.
It's clearly very important when moments like that.
Right.
Did
not sign a prenup with Amber Heard. Sorry to bring her up again.
Oh, dear God. Dear God, why? You're a shrew for bringing it up. Why?
Sorry, Johnny, it's just the facts.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ben Bradley is going to join us here in just a moment.
Yes.
Big stories out of Chicago today. Crystal Lake boy, now the body has been found of A.J. Friend, who's been missing now for a number of days.
Very sad situation. Yep. They are both parents now in custody.
Right. That's that we'll have latest on that. A.B. Stoddard's going to join us as well. The president is having a bit of I think we should point out that the president's having quite a day. So he's been battling on the Twitter all day.
Mm-hmm.
He's now battling a number of other people. He's threatening anybody who wants to try to investigate him. So we got that going for us.
He's threatening to bring it all the way to the Supreme Court on some of the issues. Mm-hmm. Attempt to potentially delay any attempts to get a hold of his taxes and other things like that.
I support him 110%. Oh. I don't want anybody looking at anybody's taxes for any reason whatsoever. This is a private between me and my accountant.
Yeah.
Not even the IRS should look at the taxes. They should just agree to whatever we've given them and just move along. They owe me $1 million.
Just like your managers who claim that you owe them some money, and they claim you owe them some money, and oh my gosh.
Right. He was buying $6,000 cases of wine.
I guess he's entitled to if he makes that much money. They say that he had over $500 million in earnings.
Well, the problem was he leveraged it against, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean. It was a Journey of the Lost Check or something, whatever it was. Whatever the last Pirates of the Caribbean. Lauren, are you a Pirates of the Caribbean geek?
No, I'm not, actually. Once they got to 3, I was like, okay.
Oh, see, no, much. Once they got to 3. Yeah, I was with them all the way through 2.
How many are there?
There's like 18 of them.
Really? How many are? Oh,
there's
gosh.
A ton of them. There's like, I think there's 5 of them. Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I have seen all of them, to be honest, but I don't know their full names.
Of course, is Pirates of the Caribbean Curse of the Shrew.
I don't think that's one yet.
Pirates of the Caribbean Curse of the...
Elon Musk.
Oh, God.
Kevin. Pirates of the Caribbean Sauvage would be a good one.
Curse of the Tesla.
Curse of the very, very, very bad lawyers.
And managers.
All right. Let's, we're driving CLTV nuts here. They've got, you know.
They're trying to follow. This is unfollowable.
Right. And then it is. And we're sitting here. We don't always have to be talking about Johnny Depp. This is important stuff is happening.
There's
here.
A lot to be talked about.
Ben Bradley's going to join us here in just a moment. But let's check in with Kim first. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, we're going to continue to follow the details of what's happening in Crystal Lake after the body of A.J. Friend was found in a field.
There you go.
Yep, and then there's this. Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, Ben Bradley is joining us right now from the WGN TV newsroom, and a tragic end to what we knew was a tragic story to begin with in Crystal Lake.
Yeah, just horrendous. Today, investigators found AJ's body, we believe about 14 or 15 miles away from his home. Body found in a shallow grave in Woodstock, of course. He was last seen, reported missing from his house in Crystal Lake. And we learned today from investigators that it was digging into the cell phone records of both mom and dad that caused investigators to be able to confront both of them with whatever details they found on their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when both of them started talking and gave up information that ultimately a week later led investigators to be able to find AJ's body.
You could tell, I mean, just hearing the news conference today, the emotion of even the officers and investigators, and you think about what a toll this takes on them. It just, when he spoke about, we know you're at peace now, AJ, and heaven's playground, you no longer have to suffer. I mean, it's just a long history with this boy and contacts with DCFS. A lot going on there in that home.
From day one, AJ was born with opiates in his system. From day one, he was on DCFS's radar. He had been removed from the home. He had been returned to the home. Crystal Lake Police documented in detail in December, filthy living conditions, feces in the home, terrible odor, broken windows, etc. DCFS found allegations of neglect in December to be unfounded. So there are a lot of questions for DCFS.
Yeah, I think so.
And let's be clear, you know, if they did what they're charged with, mom and dad are to blame for
this.
Sure. You have a child welfare agency in Illinois that admittedly has an incredibly difficult and emotional task. But it's a child welfare agency that has repeatedly failed to identify the most dangerous of homes here. It'll be 2 years later this week since Samaje Crosby was first reported missing and then found dead, a little toddler found dead in her own home in Joliet. Mm-hmm. DCFS had been involved in that case as well.
And didn't you tell us that there was a brother for AJ, who was removed from the home? Is that
what AJ had a younger brother who, when he went missing last week, DCFS came in and put him into protective custody. And imagine this. The mom was in court yesterday, as was the father, arguing that the brother should be returned to their care. And, you know, if police and prosecutors are accurate here, they were making that argument, even though they were involved in his older brother's death.
That is amazing. Absolutely. The whole thing is horrifying. And she's pregnant, right?
She is pregnant. We think about 7 months or so pregnant from another man. You know, so this was a very troubled home and has been for years. There were warning signs in this case. This didn't come out of the blue. And those, once again, those will be the questions that are asked of DCFS and that are asked of other child welfare advocates who didn't do a good enough job understanding the danger that this child and his sibling were in.
Right.
We watched as investigators removed what looked like evidence from the home. There were some items that there was a shovel, and a child mattress, and some other things that were visible, at least, as you saw investigators move back and forth today.
And imagine, Anna, the work that they have. And the FBI was brought in very early on in this. You know, they have evidence recovery technicians you know, who have extensive experience not only in tracking people both forensically but also in physical evidence. You know, and think of the work that's still being done out there right now, even after AJ's body was located several hours ago. They are still out there at that scene, you know, looking for any other additional evidence, clothing remnants, you know, evidence perhaps of an item that was used in his death. And that just has to be a brutal task.
Right.
You know, you always think of the police working these cases, the FBI agents who are working these cases, and many of them are doing so with kids that same age back at home.
Can we go back to the text message, or at least whatever?
Yeah, we don't know whether it was a text message. We don't know whether this was data from cell phone towers, you know, that enabled law enforcement to triangulate locations. So we don't know what that cell phone technology or what that cell phone evidence was. But apparently when investigators, I assume within the last 24 hours, because that's when both mom and dad did go back to the Crystal Lake Police Department, when they were confronted with that evidence, whatever it is, but a digital trail of some sort, that's apparently when they provided enough information that helped investigators figure out where that shallow grave was.
And the property that it was on, what's the nature of that? Is it, I heard, a farm?
Yeah, it looks, our Skycam pictures make it look like, you know, a rural area. There's some trees. It looks like, you know, pretty marshy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, about 15 miles or so away from AJ's house.
Boy. Who found the child, do we know?
We think that investigators acting on that information that they got both forensically and then from the mother and father, that's what led them there. Yeah, we don't think this was just a person who happened to be in the area, you know, who found AJ and reported it.
I see.
Really is
so sad.
One of those stories that it just grabs you because you see these pictures of this boy who, every picture you see of him, he looks like he's struggling to be happy. Yet, given his physical circumstances, he doesn't appear to be very well nourished in the pictures that we're seeing. He obviously had a very, very difficult life with those two.
Yeah, Dana Rebick, a reporter who's been out there for the last couple of days, spoke with some neighbors who said, you know, they obviously had some concerns. One neighbor told Dana that she actually went to the house with bags of groceries from time to time and would knock on the door. Nobody would answer, but she would leave the groceries for this family. So, yeah, this family, you know, there were a lot of people who were concerned about this family. People reacted in varying ways. You know, and there's the other matter of this father. You remember this dance that he did with police in the first few days in which, you know, he said, yes, I'm going to talk to you. Well, no, I don't want to go with you right now. I need to get some more information. And then, and all this was on camera. You know, there were news photographers around there. You know, as he decided, you know, whether or not he was going to cooperate with police. And this guy is an attorney.
Yeah.
He's had some problems with his practice. The home was in foreclosure. There was a lot of stress on his family. We believe, apparently, that the mom and the dad were separated, but perhaps still living together. So
he is an attorney.
Yes.
He's still a practicing attorney.
Well, he's had some problems with the ARDC, so I don't know the exact status of his license. But he has had some problems.
Well, more of that to come on the news coming right at 4 o'clock on WGN-TV. Obviously, that's your top story, and will dominate throughout the afternoon, into the evening. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
Ben Bradley from the WGN-TV newsroom. We've got Kim Gordon in the WGN radio newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I couldn't find my microphone there for a second.
It's been a rough sort of start to the program today.
Well, let's be honest. I think we
put
should
it on out there.
We should be honest about what happened.
What had happened
last night. We went out, and we probably shouldn't have stayed out to the hour that we stayed. And
how late was it?
I don't know. It might have been 9:30 at night, but it seemed like it was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's so dark in there.
I know. It was very hard to tell. It was a long night, and A.B. Stoddard doesn't know anything about long nights or those kinds of things that happen when all of a sudden you got a cocktail in your hand, and you're like, hey, you know what? I'll have another one. Oh, wait. No, I'll have another one. And then they go, would you like another one? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'll have it. Yeah. Yep. And it was...
It happens.
Yeah. And so right now, AB, here we are. I don't know what is whatever this is, 16 hours later. I can't find the microphone when it's right in front of my face. So I think we got a problem.
That's not the only slip-up so far. I think we're all a little slow.
Yeah, it really is something. All right. Big news. Big news. Joe Biden is going to announce he's running for president tomorrow. He's going to make stops in red states. Right? Isn't that what he's going to do?
Well, what's interesting is that we've been told, and we've been told a lot, right? And sometimes then the plans change. So I think the last I heard from the ever-evolving Biden launch plan was a video Thursday and then not appearing publicly until Monday. Is that true? Where he's going to go, he's going to let a couple days, hang out there.
What is he doing? Why is he doing that? It's almost like Fearless Leader from Woody Allen's Sleeper. It's sort of like he's releasing a thing and then he just waves and then good night and then we'll see him in a couple. I don't get. First of all, why is it taking so long to get in? He will be the 21st person, right, to be in the race. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Maybe we're just going to see one of those Biden cutouts just come to an end. They play really loud music and everyone shakes Biden's hand. Look, I think that, we've, all been told that they're pretty open about it. He didn't want to get in the first quarter at the end and show weak fundraising numbers. So he wanted to get in April. Now it's the end of April almost. And there's a lot of, he's very, wait a minute, delay guy. So, his governance. I'm just saying that, I think he's still really conflicted. And he comes in knowing that people are already, saying, you'll never raise the amount of money that Bernie has. And he's going to get attacked by the Bernie bros online. And he's not going to be, hip enough. And he's not going to be liberal enough. And he's going to be bashed by Warren for supporting the credit card industry. And he's going to be a racist and a rapist and all the things we've talked about, right?
Right.
So he faces, all of this. I think there's a lot
of tension
from his
friend
about...
That's from fellow Democrats.
Right.
When Trump talks to him.
So, no, look, it's his fellow Democrats that will ruin this for him. I mean, I think he could beat Trump tomorrow if he was the nominee. It's the damn primary he has to get through.
But that's the issue, isn't it? With the polls showing that he would be a candidate who more is not of the extreme progressive side of the party, but that somebody who could beat Trump. Why is it that so many Democrats are after him when he seems like he should have a voice in this stage of the primary?
No, he shouldn't.
Well, why is that?
No,
why not?
Because I'm sick and tired of him. You know why? Because of what he did that CNN thing where it was around Lazy Susan. Is there a woman named Lazy Susan running for president?
What is your problem with there?
With Bernie Sanders. We're talking about Bernie. We're talking about Biden.
No, man. Oh, no. He's got to take an Advil. Join the conversation.
No, I thought she had changed. I thought she had mentioned.
No, Biden. Biden. Okay. But Bernie,
we're
by the way,
Biden.
Has raised $26 million. Biden, according to the New York Times, as of today, has raised $0. So he's obviously got to move forward in that way. But it just feels like, you know, with all of this criticism coming from Democrats, why do you think that is, AB? They don't want him in the race?
Well, I mean, the thing is, the Democratic Party is a complete and utter hot mess. And they don't know where they're going. Their only, like, de facto leader is Pelosi. She's trying to keep them on the, you know, on a center path. That's how she made a majority again. It's how she intends to keep the House next year. And she's, you know, getting all this pressure from the left. And they want, like, wholesale change. So it really is, Biden is coming in as a healer, which means, you know, you're looking to the past. And I do think that there's a serious market for people who don't want new, they don't want destruction, they actually want experience, they want some, like, quasi-incumbency, they want normalcy, and they'd like some healing. And they know that Bernie and Warren are not going to be able to, like, remake America. So I actually think if you look at the polling, what's interesting is so far, we don't really know the primary electorate on the Democratic Party, right? They're actually choosing Biden in polling. Yes, Bernie's close behind, but Biden has good black support, which is also interesting. They seem to be, at least until now, more pragmatic than people think. They want a winner who will beat Trump. And so I don't know where this will look in July, and then again by Halloween, and then when voting starts in January, but I think that this is, we're in the sort of the embryonic stages of this. A lot of people are going to have to quit. They're going to have to throw their support behind the others, you know, who will be able to consolidate their support once the low-hanging fruit is gone. This is a long, long process. But Biden's getting in because he truly believes that most Democrats just want to beat Trump, and they want a winner, and they actually want someone who could come in and nap on the couch, and their staff would run the government better than Trump is running it now.
All right. So, can I bring up Bernie now?
Like, we don't know the answer, right?
Is it too late for me to bring up Bernie now? Can I bring up Bernie now? I want to bring up Bernie now. Because that poop show of the CNN, all the different people who got up there until Pete Buttigieg was the only guy at the end of the, what was like an 18-hour marathon of Democratic nominees, and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders could not out-communist each other. They just were not capable of it. They should have been wearing Mao jackets. And this idea, this idea that he had of that allowing prisoners, literally opening up polling places in prisons. It's like, what are you talking? First of all, it plays right into what the right has always feared about the left in this country, that they're crazy and they're willing to steal at any given moment by trying to use people, you know, who illegal aliens who are going to vote and prisoners are going to vote. And they just try to, that's the only way they can win. And that's what, you know, the Rush Limbaughs of the world would say about Democrats, is that the only way they can win is by doing, you know, tricks like this. And he plays right into it. And you're like, wait a second. No, you can't. It's like, you can't vote while you're in prison. You're in
prison. It kind of makes you wonder, though, like, is this going to affect Bernie? Because Bernie really is, he has a very good base of support and financial, you know, contributions, et cetera. And I think he intends to go all the way to convention, blow the whole thing up, and reelect Trump. That's my thinking. He's going to hang in no matter what, and it's all about his ego and everything. But I really wonder if comments like that will dent his support in the weeks to come.
I don't think so. Because, I think there's a lot of beret-wearing, Che Guevara T-shirt-wearing. You know, people are like, yeah, I'm totally with you, Mr. Bernie.
Yeah, that is such madness.
It is. Well, the whole thing is that. And then Elizabeth Warren, you know, standing up there and talking about how, you know, we're going to get free tuition for all. Right? We're just going to charge the billionaires for it. I mean, there's 540 billionaires in America. There's not enough. Not enough. They control $2.3 trillion worth of money, and she's already asking for $1.25 trillion just on that alone. Right? I mean, it's just, you can't tax your way out of these things by just going after rich people, because they'll find a way to get around it, too. Right? So it is, and people don't want, it's just such dumb populism. And then all of a sudden, here's Pete Buttigieg, who's like, you know, also wearing a beret and speaking French and ordering a baguette or something in the middle of the.
Very, very eloquent with his French.
I love the guy, but what was he doing? I mean, who is he?
Okay, the thing about Pete Buttigieg is that I want you to do a focus group of your friends' mothers, like women in their 60s and 70s.
All right.
Love him. He's a granny magnet. I don't know if you've figured this out. And those people vote. I don't know if he's going to be able to improve his black support, but just, you know, like I said, just ask your friends and see whose mom has sent him $30, because it'll surprise you. The guy is like out of a movie script. I mean, he didn't brag about the translation story. I don't know if you've heard the story of him in the ER just like running in to provide an Arabic translation for some young Somali kid who was like at death's door in ER, and then the hospital workers thought he worked for the hospital, and then he was leaving after the whole thing was over, and he was like, oh no, I just am the mayor, but I heard on the police scanner that they needed a translator for Arabic, so I just came down here. Like, his campaign didn't put that out. So Pete Buttigieg learned Norwegian because he really liked this author and read that she only has one book translated into English. So he learned Norwegian to read the rest of her 8 books. He plays the piano. He's a veteran of war. He's 37 years old. He talks like he's 95.
Yeah, he does.
He makes people calm. He seems sane. He's like, he's very deliberate in speaking, but it doesn't seem calculated. He's just mesmerizing. And so, you know, everyone says he can't win, but he's like busting through all the polls.
You sent him $30, didn't you?
Win.
You sent him $30. You sent him.
I didn't, but I know several moms who have. He's a granny magnet, I'm telling you.
It's very. I just wish my son was more like him, except for the whole gay thing.
That is exactly. Yeah. Humble, a servant, curious, intellectual, not showing off. You know, everything about him.
He's like the perfect human.
So, what is the president going to call him? We were speculating on this yesterday. Right? It's like we've come up with Booty Judge is what he's going to call him.
Yeah. He'll
play with the name
part.
It's gonna be ugly. And you know, it's gonna be ugly, it's gonna be insulting on every level, and it's okay because no matter what the president says or does, it does not matter.
It's so interesting though, you guys have to watch who's criticizing him. So Franklin Graham today said that he needs to repent to God for being gay, and he can't be a gay Christian or a Christian gay or something.
Buttigieg?
Uh-huh. And then yesterday, Don Jr. was like tweeting some, you know, article about how he made black people mad when he was mayor and fired the police chief. So Don Jr. is like, you know, trying to find some Buttigieg, like, oppo. So it's actually, I mean, it's penetrating. Like, Republicans are actually afraid.
Yeah. Hey, and I mentioned this yesterday, but this drove me nuts, and then we'll let you go, because I, quite honestly, I think I'm going to be ill. But I can't get over the outrage that I saw on the interwebs 2 days ago when the Christian right was, some members of the Christian right were mad at Barack Obama for calling the people in Sri Lanka Easter worshipers instead of Christians. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's what you're mad about? The stuff that is going on that we see here, that's what, I mean, it just shows you that, I mean, I know that some of that is trolling to try to get a reaction. I get that.
There
are people who do truly believe that, and it is wild, 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 wild to me that there is that we're now in a place where right side up is upside down and left is right, and it's just, I can't understand how did we get here?
I know. It's really amazing. I was actually reflecting on that today, thinking that when Hillary Clinton said the other day at that event, you know, whatever she said about Donald Trump, if it was anyone but him, they would have already been indicted. It's like every time Barack Obama tweets or Hillary Clinton opens her mouth, it gives this whole sphere of sort of commentators and trolls and Twitter personalities something to grab onto, dissect, and malign, and like juice up the outrage, you know, band. And it's just so interesting. It's like almost like Hillary should stay home just because she's keeping them going.
Yeah, she should.
Another chance to talk with their server.
She should. She should. And instead, now Biden's going to get out there and, you know, draw fire. And I would just say that, you know, maybe Hillary needs to take a rest. Barack Obama said he's going to keep his powder dry, though. See that? He's not going to endorse early.
Right. I think that's so interesting. I mean, I understand he wants to be a player. He has huge ego, and he thinks he's like the de facto leader of the party, and he wants to encourage like youngsters to come up and everything. But I think there might be a point where he's going to have to assess, you know, you've heard him. He's tried to warn against, like, the populism and the raging lefty direction of the party. And he's tried to, you know, use some sort of calming, like, elder statesman
words. Like, shut up, Mom!
I am really wondering if, like, Biden goes, you know, the distance, and then there's a real sort of knock, you know, a real battle against, you know, these disruptors, like, you know, like a Warren or a people who are going to call him a corporate Democrat, this type of thing. I wonder if, you know, if Obama's going to stay silent. I mean, I just wonder how long that's going to last, or if he's truly opposed to Biden running. And I think it's really interesting that the McCain family has already said, according to the Washington Examiner, they're going to support him in the primary and the general.
Biden?
Yep.
Huh. Well,
that's interesting.
Over Trump.
Powerful endorsement.
Well, let's face it. Oh, Trump's going to get even with everybody right after he will not release
his
statement.
Whatever, he gets the Supreme Court to stop congressional impeachment proceedings.
Right. Or he gets
that's what the Supreme Court does.
Or the Supreme Court to stop any investigations into him. He's looking to do that, too. Put Stephen Moore, who was on the show, lovely guy. We talked about him before. Lovely, lovely. I love Stephen Moore as a person. He is wholly unqualified to sit on the Federal Reserve Board.
Well,
but he's
about women in sports too.
Well,
very troubling.
Yeah, that's.
You know, my thing about Stephen Moore is it's just he knows better than anybody that Trump's people and Trump don't vet anybody. So you have to be pre-vetted yourself. You can't just, you know, let Trump decide that you're his buddy and let him tap you for something. And what, you think you're going to get, like, a free ride? You're going to get vetted. People are going to find old stuff you said. Like, if you're not up for that, don't let it happen. They did to Herman Cain last week. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, because Herman's
Trump,
like,
Trump doesn't bet.
Let me speak German to you. 999. I'm not going to be doing this. And then Kim and Putin are meeting right now. That's got to get Trump. Trump's got to be all jelly about that, right?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I mean, people around him are like afraid of what he's going to do to try to get in the middle of that.
Yeah, don't discuss. CNN's doing a story, pushing a story that says that this is that people don't want to bring up Russia around him because they're freaked out because he gets mad every time you bring up Russia in any context.
It's so funny that's what everyone just was discussing today about the Nielsen leak. Or wait, let me retract that. People who might be close to Kirstjen Nielsen, who created that New York Times story. You know, it's always, the president just gets frustrated because he feels that it just threatens the integrity of his victory. How about he's also, like, fully welcoming the help next year? If you look at what Rudy and Jared said this week on Sunday and Tuesday, it's basically like, come on, guys, doors open. Saudis want to help us? Just come on over.
Right. Israelis. He wants the Israelis working for him, not against him.
Like, allied powers should come on in and, you know, let's do this. Teamwork.
All right.
And there's no question. But it's always, no, you just can't bring him because it just gets his, like, fragile ego. No, it's also, like, he helped Bibi Netanyahu. He expects help.
Yeah, for sure.
He expects the Saudis. He covered for them for a murder. Like, he expects help.
AB, I don't feel better now at all. I mean, either you made it worse for me in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how you did it, but you did. I thought this would be a very pleasant conversation.
It's a mistake to call me late in the day when you have, like, a weekday hangover. I think you need to rethink this whole policy of yours.
Yes, right. My lifestyle policy. It was a Tuesday night.
It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. We were celebrating on a Tuesday. We don't get out as much. We have new people on the show that we're welcoming, and we got to get a lot of control.
Felt the need to be social.
All right. Thank you, AB Stoddard.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, AB.
All right. Let us now check in with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the news?
Roe, we'll bring you the latest case. The latest in the case of AJ Friend, the missing 5-year-old's body was discovered today.
Lawrence Traffic brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Kim Gordon's got the news coming up at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Pat Brady is joining us. The feds are probing J.B. Pritzker over his toilets. And Pat Brady is responsible for that whole shooting match.
It's on him.
Yes. Although I think I mispronounced that word.
Which word?
Shooting. So he'll explain all of that. And then, is sports betting moving closer to being law in Illinois? Pat will explain all of that, too. It's coming your way, and it's local. It's right here, 720 WGN. Yeah, that's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Here is our, well, he's a political editor. He's sometimes a legal editor.
He wears a lot of hats.
He's a Pat of all trades, Pat Brady. Now, Pat, I understand that the federal government is, federal investigators are probing J.B. Pritzker's toilets. And this is your frickin' fault because you're the one who put out the commercial when you're, you know, running whatever, you know, think tank dirty tricks operation that you were running, that you you put out the, you know, the, that whole toilet gate. That worked out great. You really, you know, Rauner really, really came through in the end there.
Bro, that's all fake news. All that. No, really what this came from was a Democrat inspector general at the county issued this report about the toilets, basically ripped the toilets out to get a tax reduction, which he did. And today it came out, and Dave McKinney and Tony Arnold, two great reporters, as you guys know, the best, so you take it credibly. But to be completely frank about it, not as a partisan, but just as a former prosecutor, I don't see much in it.
You don't?
No.
Well, and the Governor Pritzker says he's not concerned with it, that he hasn't been contacted by feds in any capacity, and they would that be unusual?
No, you know, if he would be considered a target, which no one has said he is, you're the last person to get contacted. But even more so, even the article that they did such a good job with, they haven't subpoenaed records from the relevant offices.
Like the Treasury.
And they haven't interviewed anybody. And this is not like this is new. This has been since last summer. So if this thing was really a heater case that was going forward, you'd think there would be more. Even beyond that, if you read the very familiar with the report, because Roe didn't have his facts right, but yes, I did do a press conference on the report.
I think, didn't have my facts right. Oh my God.
Anyway,
you not responsible for that thing?
No,
that commercial?
No. I think that the people that were involved were somewhat far removed from the governor. So.
Well, his wife and brother-in-law, according to the report, are under the federal criminal investigation. That's the WBEZ report.
Yeah.
And then it was her, her assistant.
Right, they kind of orchestrated
things. But
they're the ones that signed the documents that were allegedly fraudulent.
And then the Cook County Assessor, Fritz Kagi, was approached by several reporters. Says that his office has not been contacted by the feds. So to your point, wouldn't early in an investigation, isn't that the first thing you would go after those documents?
You would think so. Another kind of point, too, in these cases historically, the Begoya Virch or George Reiner, whether there's just a more of a pattern of corruption for these things to become actual indictments. And again, I think he's very kind of removed insofar as the facts that were in the reports.
Well, that'd be something, though. They took him out in handcuffs like only 3 months into the job.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing, I think
they're not doing that.
No, I think the bigger issue is it's the timing's bad for him just because right now there's a big legislative agenda he's trying to get done. This might provide ammunition for the other side. But I read it today. I'm like, yeah, this is good reporting, but I don't see this being a big problem for him.
We never like to see that, though. We've had so many of our governors in the history of Illinois get, be the target of these types of probes. It's not a good sign.
Well, you see him right now coming out, J.B. Pritzker, and sitting down with press and trying to get, trying to put a face to the legislation that he wants to get done here. And he wasn't doing that before. Why wasn't he doing that? Because he was getting organized?
I think he was getting organized, and I think they weren't exactly sure what the legislation was going to be. I think a lot of this legislation's actually going to be dropped next week when they get back in session. But they have, you know, a lot of priorities. They have, first of all, they have to do a budget. His big thing is a progressive tax.
Mm-hmm.
You've got recreational marijuana, potentially gaming, and then a capital bill.
And a lot of it seemed like it could get done fairly quickly. There were at least hopes about a few of those items.
But typically in a session, the big items don't get done till the last hour because they have to go through building support and having the committee hearings. But the rubber meets the road here in the next 5 weeks.
So it's by July 1st, though, right?
Is that when they're done into May.
Oh, they are. Oh, it's June 1.
Yeah, June. The last day of May is the last day of session. And in like for the gaming bill, Lori Lightfoot's only going to be sworn in for 11 days before the session ends. And so whatever they do regarding Chicago Casino or whatever they're going to do with that bill, I mean, she's going to have to hit the ground running.
How you doing? So do you think that's going to pass? Think we're going to have recreational gaming in Illinois like they do in New Jersey?
You mean the DraftKings FanDuel stuff?
Yeah.
Well, in interest of full disclosure, I represent a casino. I won't say which one, but I do. But I'll give you my opinion on it. I think the problem is One of the problems is in New Jersey, where they allowed DraftKings and FanDuel in when the Supreme Court made the ruling that it made it legal, they took 80% of the market. And the point is that those two have been operating, and this is the Attorney General's words, not mine, illegally in the state for years. Why should they get rewarded by capturing 80% of the market here? They need to go into the penalty box, or they need to figure out a way to make a more equitable situation for the 20 or so licenses that the governor's trying to sell.
Very interesting. Again, how are you doing? You doing okay? That's a lot of guys. There's just a lot of guys who are asking that question exactly like that.
It's so true.
So how's our friend? Is he going to get this through? I mean, how's our friend doing? Is he okay?
Well, think about all that they're going to try to get done in the next 5 weeks. And the gaming bill historically gets tied up because everybody wants a piece of it. Everybody wants a casino, and it dies. But the marijuana bill, the capital bill, the budget, and the progressive tax.
Well, the progressive tax is... That's the hardest, isn't it? Because you need a constitutional convention to change it.
Well, you first of all get to vote in the legislature, so you need 71 votes, which the Democrats have 74, but some of the Democrats aren't thrilled with some of the things they've had to do already. Right. So, and they're not going to get a Republican vote on it.
How are they doing? Are the Democrats, are they doing okay? How
are
they
sick? Doing on this? Are they well?
Yeah,
I think...
Just send something to say, how's her mother?
As a former Republican chairman, I set them up nicely.
Yeah, you did.
Well done, exactly. Pat Brady.
Pat Brady likes to say, I got him exactly where I want him.
You know, Madigan, we lulled him to sleep.
Yeah, three quarters of the House is Democrats. Yeah. Exactly what I wanted.
Make them think we're dead as a party. Exactly. That'll be an advantage.
He's falling asleep on us. You wait for the comeback. We'll be the Tiger Woods.
Yeah, don't
coming
sleep,
back.
Don't sleep on the Republicans because the Republicans are sleeping on the Republicans. I think it's going to be interesting. The one obviously we're most interested in around here, you got the recreational marijuana, which we're thinking about shifting to, and then the gambling. Because I think something's going to come out, though, isn't it? Or no? You think that's...
The recreational marijuana in December, I thought, was a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe the governor's starting to talk about maybe it's let's slow this down a little bit. Why rush it through? Because there are so many things that we don't know.
Because the money isn't great in it.
The money, even in the FanDuel, that kind of betting, the money's not great there either.
The micro betting.
The money's not, the tax revenues aren't that great. The money's great, but the tax revenues aren't.
Okay, yeah, but how are they doing? They're doing okay?
Well, we had Major League Baseball guy in the other day talking about, you know, they want to supervise, but I think they also want
to
cut.
How's he doing? Is he doing okay?
He's doing fine. Okay. I think baseball good.
Yeah, okay, it's good. All right. The baseball guy's good. All right. Okay. Football guy, how's he doing? Is he good? Honest to God, I've been at lunches with it. This is the exact conversation. And the FBI has to go. You've heard this too when you were working for the Justice Department. And you have to call through the tape, and they go and you're like, okay, who's he talking about there? The first guy or the second guy? How's he doing? Is he okay? He's okay.
What is Pat have his headphones on? Can he hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What is so difficult about getting the sports betting through? New Jersey comes out today and says gamblers have wagered more than $2.3 billion in the 10 months since they've legalized it. They think they'll overtake Nevada as the top sports betting market in the United States by 2020.
Well, they're doing good.
They're doing all right. So what's the problem here?
Well, there's a lot of different interests. You have existing gambling facilities like the casinos that invested a ton of money and time and effort and have been here. And the argument against the FanDuel and Sports King is that they've been operating in the state illegally. Why should we necessarily give them a benefit when they've been taking money out of the state illegally? And even on those top-line revenue numbers, Kevin, I'd be very interested to see what the actual tax dollars are that go to the state, because the numbers aren't huge.
But they're still doing okay.
They're still doing all right.
Says the two guys who love to gamble.
I mean,
it's great.
They're still doing okay.
No, it's perfect.
It's real nice.
But I totally see the position. I mean, we've been here playing by the rules, and these guys are coming in. They're not, and why should they get this benefit? And that's the argument. Anything, it's not just that. It's beyond when you put a bill like this through. They call it a Christmas tree bill, where everybody wants something, and by the time it gets voted on, it doesn't go anywhere. And that's been going on for years.
Classic Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, guys. Kevin, it's not that bad.
That's true.
Governor doing okay? Is he doing okay? How's his toilets?
I don't think today was a great day, but I think he's trying.
No.
Thank you, Pat.
No.
Thank you. I mean, that's right now, J.B. Pritchard goes, down, Pat Brady! That son of a... How do you think, so far, though, I mean, He's been so quiet. I don't know how to grade him yet.
Well, we'll be able to grade him in 4 or 5 weeks, but I actually think he's not doing a bad job. He's real good at the people skills part of being governor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning
that was very surprising to me how quickly he had adjusted to that. He's always been a nice, smart, warm guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you're making fun of me on this issue, I was at a restaurant here in Chicago a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he was in there, and I don't really know him. I know I'm going to say hello to him, but he came walking over, asked how I was doing, couldn't have been friendlier. I go, you know, that's a very big thing to do, mm-hmm. and we had a nice conversation. So I think he's got that down, but heck, it's Springfield. It's right. There's always competing interests, and it's pretty ugly the last
time. Did you tell him you're the toilet guy when he came over?
Oh, he knows I'm the toilet guy, I guarantee you.
Hey, I'm the guy that screwed you over on the toilets. How you doing?
Well,
you doing good?
I give him more credit for coming over and shaking
totally,
your
that's
hand.
My point.
Right,
yeah.
I get it.
It's not, you know, it's what are they saying, Godfather? Mm-hmm. It's not.
So bro, you're good business. At this.
Business is not personal.
Right. So lamenti business.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only business. No, this is personal. It doesn't get more personal than this. So remember that at the very
toilets
end.
Are pretty,
how's he doing?
Toilets are pretty personal.
How's Sally? Is Sally doing okay? Sally's good. Sally's fine.
Well, with sports betting, it's legalized. You could sit on your toilet and make a bet on your phone.
Right.
If you had one.
Right. Or, but if you gamble enough, you will not have a pot to pee in.
Hey, so you know that's what? That's a great. There's a committee hearing come up. Kevin, you want to come down and testify to that?
Sure.
Places you can do it?
I'll bring a toilet. I'll plop it on the floor, and I'll sit on it and say, I want to make a bet for my toilet.
And I carry my toilet with me wherever I go.
Yeah, I do.
That's actually hooked up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do see some people down there in the state capitol who do things like that. They have a toilet on wheels, and they just sit on it as they're moving through.
Oh. Why don't you come down and visit? Do a show from Springfield.
No.
I try not to go to Springfield.
No. It will never happen. But what I think, I mean, listen, we had, you know, our guy Nick, or is it Vic? Well, the real guy's Vic. But, you know, our guy Nick is like, you know, well, listen, what's wrong in New Jersey? Making all this money in New Jersey. It's good. Why don't you want to make money here? What are you stupid?
I think Nick's a very bright guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
You want to make money? It's real good. We got, you know, you get the wig, you got the whole thing. Who you like tonight? You like Golden State tonight? Who you like?
We got to get you into some new restaurants at night. I think you're picking up some.
I know. Where are you hanging out? Where are you?
Oh, I know
going?
Where it is, and that's where you. I know
do
exactly
too,
where
it's. I won't name it. You're saying that the
I can't make a dollar around here. What kind of town is this? All right, thank you, Pat Brady.
Thanks,
see you guys. Thanks,
appreciate it. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Roe United CEO weighing in on whether the 737 MAX jet should return to the air.
And Lawrence Traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Phil Klein, former Chicago police superintendent, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about one of my favorite events of the year, the Run to Remember.
Yeah.
It's coming your way. And that is going to be a week from Saturday, downtown, right by Soldier Field, by the Gold Star Memorial Park,
mm-hmm.
for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. Absolutely beautiful day every year. We've had great weather for that, and it's a 5K run walk kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer to drive, so it's a separate. It's a, you know, I have a unique way of doing this.
You don't do the runs and the walks,
right?
At least I've not known you to do them.
I do. I drive and then I honk at the people who are in front of me. Oh. Hey, get out of the way!
Oh, that's not very nice.
So that's, we can talk about that, but we can also talk to him about what's happening in the Chicago Police Department, because it's a tough situation now.
Yeah, you saw that Superintendent Eddie Johnson not too long ago put out the video about seeking help for mental health for mm-hmm. officers, and that trying to remove some of the stigma from that, you know, given the things they see day to day, and yep. that's out there, but a lot going on within the police force.
And then at top five, at five, you won't believe. And then we go on the stream at 5:30 for as long as we can last. And I don't know how long we can actually last.
Sure.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. I would stay tuned. He already heard the top of the show. I almost swore three times.
You couldn't find the microphone, and it was right in front of you. Do we remember that part?
I don't. I have short-term memory loss. Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
Right here on 720 WGN. And coming up, a top 5 at 5 that you will not believe. And then we hit the stream, the World Wide Webs, at 5:30.
Nice. Mm-hmm. We're streaming.
The Chicago White Sox take to the air here at WGN Radio. And then if you're listening on the stream at WGNRadio.com or on any of the the app, the WGN app, which we suggest, that's a great, easy way to do it. But if you've got a smart speaker, you could tell the smart speaker to find WGN Radio, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. You can also just ask you to play WGN Radio. It'll find it.
Sure, it just does, just like that.
Yep.
That's why they're called smart speakers.
Right. Mine is too smart for its own good.
You have a problem with, well, yours, you don't have a good relationship with your
Rose talks back to him.
Yes. Yeah, and doesn't understand you. And
in a weird
messes
way.
With
too.
You.
Yeah.
Come home late. Where have you been, mister?
That's what I got an earful from her last night.
Last night.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, there was a lot of that, hey.
You need another one?
Right. What do you mean you're having another one? You should go up and go to bed right now.
Smell the whiskey.
Surprised she doesn't unplug herself.
Right.
Well,
she's too controlling.
I've got them all over the place, too. And sometimes they fight with each other. There's two in the same room.
I don't know why you have two in the same room.
Well, I did it because it was like a stereo thing. And then they started to fight with each other. No, that's not what he wants. He doesn't want to turn off the TV. He wants to turn on the TV. No, he wants to turn off the TV. And they're going back and forth with each other. I'm sorry, we don't have a command for that. Yes, we do. I know the command for that. All right. But that's not why we called. Well, more of that hilarity coming up.
On the screen.
Phil Klein is joining us. He is the executive director of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. And we'll start with the whipped cream here, Phil. Then a week from Saturday, you got the big Run to Remember 5K run walk event that takes place in right next to the memorial, right in Gold Star Park, and it's 1410 South Museum Campus. Basically, it's right across from Soldier Field, right on the east side of Soldier Field.
If you get off Lakeshore Drive at 18th Street, you're right there.
Yeah, you can't miss it. Look for the helicopters
and the 5,000 people.
Yeah. That's the thing. Are we pretty much sold out on that? What's going on?
Well, we got 5,500 people signed up. Last year we had 63. We think we're going to beat it.
Nice.
And if we get good weather that day, a lot of people that wait to see what the weather's like come that morning.
So there's a 5K walk, and you can run it or walk it, right? And then there's a junior jog. Maybe you could do that, Ro, the junior jog.
How far is that? How far is the junior jog?
Is that easier?
So, yeah.
It's about 100 yards. I can't do it.
I'm not doing that. I got bad ankles, Phil. I can't. It's just not going to work out. So there is, though, the really fun camaraderie, because what you end up with is almost all the law enforcement agencies, federal law enforcement agencies, local law enforcement agencies, they put together teams, and the teams compete against each other for best times. And it is really, best cumulative time. It's really, really, really cool.
It is fun. Ton of fun.
You know, the state's attorneys, I don't understand why the state's attorneys are such good runners. Shouldn't they be, busy indicting people or something? I mean, they seem to get a lot of outdoor work in, which is interesting because they always do really, really, really well.
Yeah, them and the FBI have done well, but we're going to try and put some signs up there that might fool them and they'll go the wrong way and stuff like that. We're going to try and get the trophy back to the police department.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I think that the state attorney's office has been going the wrong way for the last couple of weeks. It's perfect. Hey, let me talk about the serious nature of what we do here, though, at the Memorial Foundation, because not only does the Memorial Foundation take care of the families of fallen officers and meet all of their educational needs for the kids and in some cases the spouses and immediate support in the aftermath. And it's been a really, really, really tough year for the Chicago Police Department in this moment. There have been three Chicago police officers who've lost their life since Paul Bauer lost his life a year ago last February. And so that, and I think there was it like 16 kids or something now that were responsible for just in the last year?
Well, we added 8 more kids last year, and we're up to 29 kids in our education program now.
And it's a great, it is a great, great program. But the other piece is, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this, the, also people know about the Get Behind the Vest before I get to the suicide prevention thing, but the Get Behind the Vest, which is we have been purchasing replacement bulletproof or ballistic vests for police officers, because after they get their first one, they, which the vests, ballistic vests, expire after 5 or 7 years. After they get their first vest, they're responsible for buying all the future vests. And so what the Police Memorial Foundation, it was a bit, got sort of a genius moment by Phil to say, hey, you know what we should do is buy these vests, because coppers don't go out and do it. And they should be out and doing it, right? And they, and it's just hard.
You know, unfortunately, it goes up against braces for the kids, new brakes for the car, and a lot of the times the cops will put the vest off for a year. But this way, there was 8,000 vests that were expired. We replaced all of them, and now we're doing 500 a year, so we're keeping up so that there'll be no expired vest on the street.
See, this is where the money goes.
That's good to hear.
For those who want to, you know, take part in this stuff. And can you, let's talk a little bit about the suicide prevention efforts, because that's been a very... it's been a big developing story here in Chicago and the Chicago Police Department. Eddie Johnson just talked about it, superintendent, in a really emotional and compelling way. He talked about his own experience with that, where he just needed to talk to somebody, needed some help when he was out on the street as a cop.
Very personal message, and they're trying to turn the tables on the stigma that surrounds this, and talked about how it's a sign of courage to come out and ask for help. And when you have 7 police officers in recent months who have taken their own lives, he's making it a top priority. Seems like overdue.
And that's the big thing, is taking the stigma away from it. If you need help or your partner needs help, get it for them, and it's not going to cost them their job. And that was the problem in the past.
Right, or the their ability to carry a weapon. Were those the fears that you had heard from police officers all the time, that, look, I'm dealing with so much, maybe there's a combination of factors, home and on the job, and then you just worry what happens to you if you step forward and say something?
Well, before, if a police officer got admitted to a hospital for mental issues, they yanked his FOID card, and therefore he couldn't carry a gun on the job, and he was put in a no-pay status. So that's been corrected, and it won't happen to officers now. If they get help, it's like for any other disease, whether it's cancer, heart, or anything else. You get in, you get healthy, you can go back on the street.
And talk a little bit about the stress of that, though, because it's unique. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of careers that have a lot of stress. This is not one of them. But there are you know, people who work very hard in what they do, and police officers, you know, endure not just, you know, the stress of the job, sometimes the physical stress as well as the emotional stress. But then they have the added component of often being, when they're going in to help people, they're often being treated as the enemy while they're going in to help. And I think that has its own set of effects, does it not? Isn't that kind of one of those accelerators emotionally for these guys?
And it builds up after time, and that's the problem. And I mean, even like all these officers that were involved in this case with this 5-year-old boy from Crystal Lake, I mean, all of them need to sit down with a counselor after this is all over, because whether they believe it or not, that takes a toll on you, handling stuff like that.
Oh, I can only imagine. And you could hear it in their voices during that news conference, the officers involved. Really, difficult to deal with.
And giving these officers an opportunity to, you know, to be able to talk to somebody that can help them and at least get the ball rolling is really the most important thing, right? Is that they just have to start the process, because if they don't ask for the help, they're not going to get the help. And, you know, for all the reasons we just articulated, they don't ask for the help. So this is a good, this is also, you know, a good new movement here. All right, if people want, Phil... If people want to walk or run, or as I said, drive their car in the race, that's what I was planning on doing.
Your car in the race? It's in a park area.
How about a golf cart, Phil? Can I get a golf cart for this?
For you, we will. Even though you got a bad rep with golf carts, we'll get you one.
Oh.
You know,
have you been known to crash a golf cart?
He's been known to leave them in streams. I mean, it's terrible.
Phil.
You see, let me just tell you what Phil did. What Phil did, it was, I think, our first golf outing, and he got the golf carts wrapped, you know, with like our names on them, which I don't even know why he did that, but he did. That was a great expense. And I left to go back downtown to do the radio show because that's really my job, Phil.
Roast
and the
strong.
Next thing you know, I start getting photos from the golf outing with my golf cart nose first in the river. Of the golf course, with my, the only thing you can see is my name coming out the back of the golf cart as the thing is half submerged. Who did that, Phil? Who did that, Phil?
I wouldn't say anything more without an attorney.
Right. And a full investigation.
Right.
That is really true. All right, Phil, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And all the great work that you do at the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
Thanks for what you do.
Thanks, Phil.
CPDmemorial.org. Anybody wants to sign up and register to run and walk, we welcome everybody. Thank you.
Very good. All right, there you go. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour news?
Roe, former Vice President Joe Biden set to launch his campaign for president tomorrow.
Good to have a vodka choice. Coming up,
a new vodka.
Stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And that Cork and Carry, man, that place is... It is so much fun before and after a Sox game. Just it rolls.
Totally does. Great
it's the
atmosphere.
Perfect collection of Southsiders. I've never seen anything look so Southside. It feels like home.
It is. Yeah.
It does. It has a comfortable neighborhood bar feel to it.
Yes,
I agree.
Yeah, and then there's guys that, you know, there was when we were there for opening day. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who showed up and he was wearing the softball jersey with the big wide lapels. Remember Sox had that black and white softball jersey,
right?
And then White Sox Zuba pants, and wing tipped black and white shoes.
Mm-hmm. You got to bring it.
Remember
it's opening
him.
Day.
Yeah, and he walks in there and he's like, "I'm here," and everybody's like, "Oh, hey, okay." All right, he's here.
All right, hey, do you hear he's here?
He's here.
Everybody, he's here.
Yeah, and you know, everybody gets everybody spends their time in the barrel in that bar. You know, you walk in, everybody's going to get made fun of like in the first minute, and then you get to go be part of the people making fun of the people walking in next. Right?
You got to look when you walk in there.
Yep.
And then you're one of their own after a couple beers.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you'll be on the air with us from there, right?
Is correct. That the plan? Yes.
Okay.
Good atmosphere there. And, you know, surprisingly great food. I mean, like, it looks like just a great bar, but then you get, like, the fish and chips. I remember we had all the French fries there are outrageously good. The food.
Big fan of the buffalo chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The food's great. And the food down on the south side, over by Western Avenue, as they like to say around here, also great.
Yep.
So that's going to be a very fun thing. And you get to meet Kevin and Lauren. And then you get to go walk up to them and ask them questions about us.
What's Roe really like?
No, it's not like that. It's what's Anna really like, and then Roe's really an a-hole, isn't he? That is often the question that is on the lips of those.
We trust you guys to be good ambassadors, though. Talk us up.
Yeah.
Give me some dirt on Roe and Anna. Go pull up a seat, buddy. Yeah. tell you all about them.
Give me a little more vodka. We'll see.
Enough time? Oh, man, the game starts.
Game's
here.
In an hour, buddy. We don't have that much time.
Yeah. So anyways, he says to me... there are a lot of conversations like that. Anyway, it's gonna be a ton of fun. And,
it is.
And, you know, the White Sox are an interesting product this year. They're pretty fascinating on the field, and you can feel that some of these kids that are coming up are starting to hit their stride.
Yeah,
they are. It's sort of been an up and down year so far, but like we talked about, you know, it's young, it's very young, and the young players that really matter to this rebuild are playing very well. I mean, Yoel Moncada, Eloy Jimenez. It's sort of been up and down, but that's what you'd expect from a guy in his first 20 games in the bigs. But Moncada, Tim Anderson leads the American League in batting average. He looks like he's really finding his kind of his comfort zone. So, yeah, there's a lot of bright spots so far for them.
Very good.
Yes.
We like hearing that.
Talk all about it when you come meet us at Cork and Carry.
Yeah, we'll come out after the show.
Yeah, we'll meet you out there.
All right.
What time is that game?
That's a 7-10-er.
All right, so we're up at 6:40. We zoom out there.
Mm-hmm. I'll save you guys a seat.
In the blazer, in the official show blazer, which drives at 200 miles an hour, I learned.
Somehow.
Yeah, we found out last night.
It's like the Batmobile.
On the way there.
On the way there.
Yes. Luckily, we were not able to drive on the way out.
Right.
That was a problem. Still got to go pick that thing up somewhere. I got to go find wherever that guy did with that. You gotta have a guy.
You turned on invisible mode, remember?
Yeah, there was a guy who's like, "We keep for you." And we're like, "What do you mean? What do you mean you keep for me?" No, we keep for you. He's best.
We keep for you.
All right.
I love that.
All right. Well, can I have a key? No. We keep Keith.
Well, keep it nice.
We keep for you. It would be nice. I put it in the garage. You come pick up tomorrow.
It all works out.
Yeah. That's how that goes every time. Mm-hmm. I mean, or quite a bit. Quite often.
Yeah, I like the guys on kind of the ancillary part of the ballpark. They sort of find parking for you, you know? I got a spot for you. Just give me $20.
Easy out.
Yeah, easy out. No, right.
Easy in, easy out.
You're not always sure
where
your car is.
At the ballpark, you also have to be very careful about, you try to stay east of the tracks, but, you know, on the big games, it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
And then you end up west of the tracks. And then when you get west of the tracks, you're like, wait a second.
Guy's like, just park it in the alley. I'll watch it. $20, buddy.
And you're like, all of a sudden, you're like in Wheaton. And you're parking. And you're like, hey, wait a second.
There's no road to turn down to like go down to 35th or 33rd.
You got a huge loop around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you end up in the southwest loop of parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I don't even know where I am. You have to look for the stadium just as like a marker. And you're like off in the distance.
Wait, I hear it.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't know where I am, but I know that I'm somewhere. I'm maybe within 3 or 4 miles of said park.
Follow the fireworks.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
Enough of the fun and frivolity here. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, Kim's got the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in just about 2 minutes. And then a top five at five that promises to be something, well, rather unusual today. I think you're going to enjoy it. That's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Yes.
HBO just released a 30-second teaser for the upcoming episode of Game of Thrones. Yes, I know. And that Kevin hates when we talk about it because he doesn't like Game of Thrones.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I just haven't watched it. 90% of our dinner last night was Game of Thrones.
And
talk.
That irritated me.
Dragons and wizards and whatever else you guys talk
wizards.
About that show.
Wizards.
Don't get her started. Do not get Lauren started.
She's very technical on this.
Right. Lauren did inspire me last night when I got home. I watched the Infinity Wars, the last one.
I'm so proud.
Yeah.
So you can prepare for the new one?
Yeah.
I know. I got to do that,
because
too.
Because it's all we talk about now, superheroes and wizards and Game of Thrones and all those sorts of things. So I got to catch up.
Right. Well, it looks like there's one epic battle that we're going to see in this upcoming episode with the living and the dead, just on the little 30-second teaser. Sansa Stark and Arya dressed for battle.
Is Arya the one that caused a stir last week? Because she had
the little baby girl grew up and then
became everybody saw everybody freaking out on social media about that.
Yeah, she
her and the dragon.
No, what? She did not hit. No. I know. I know. If you don't watch Game of Thrones, all you're thinking is, "Hey, are the dragons having sex? What happens if the dragon has sex? How does it not burn the other one's head off?"
How many dragons are there? Is there just one big dragon?
There's three, technically. Yeah, one's gone to the other team. I know these are all probably spoiler alerts, but I don't
really.
Care.
You gotta be up
and know what's going on here at the end.
I'm happy for everybody who's found this passion within Game of Thrones.
Oh, I like this. Yeah, thank you. That's very nice of you. All right, more on
sounds
that.
Sounds very heartfelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a Game of Thrones update. You know, when the kids, they like the podcasts and they like to talk about these things.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Oh, my God. Secretly recorded phone calls. At least I think they are. I have a theory about this.
Really?
Between Michael Cohen and Tom Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Arnold,
fascinating,
who was Roseanne Barr's ex-husband, and I don't know who's crazier. Do you see that Roseanne Barr says she's like a dope fiend now, and she's pictures of her were very bad over the weekend in the tabs.
I did not see them.
Yeah. Now, apparently, Michael Cohen, how they ended up on the phone together, still a little elusive.
He says that
me.
He called him, this is the, what Tom Arnold says, and I agree with you, not everything's adding up here. He called Michael Cohen to give him moral support, secretly recorded the conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do for your friends?
Michael Cohen is my role model.
Uh-huh.
Not all adding up.
Okay. Well, let's take a little listen.
Yeah, you would think that you would have folks, you know, stepping up and saying, you know what, this guy's lost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. My, you know, my family's happiness, my law license. You know, I lost, you know, I lost my business. I lost, you know, everything. My insurance, my bank accounts, all for what? All for what? Because Trump, you know, had an affair with a porn star. That's really what this is about.
Is Tom Arnold playing music on a keyboard back there?
I don't know.
So he's doing too.
Very drama filled. I don't know if that's the way he submitted it to the Wall Street Journal or when he leaked it or what.
I don't know.
Here, I added a little bit of flair.
Yeah,
right. Well, the guys at the Wall Street Journal, because they're known for flair over at the Wall Street Journal.
That's why it doesn't make sense. Why would he? Let's put
music behind
it. The whole thing.
Here's more.
I love this woman. Yes, I'm not going to let her get dragged into the mud of this crap. And I never thought the judge was going to throw a 3-year freaking sentence. It's maddening. That's the
yeah.
One.
Yeah.
You know, you take it, but I had a mission that I needed to fulfill, and I needed to get the truth out there.
He wasn't very good at getting the truth out there, was he?
Not 100%, no. And when he was going to punch your dumb nose down your stupid throat, I thought that was kind of he was telling everybody it was going to hurt him, you know, even worse when he was working for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's just a thug and a nut.
I don't know who's thuggier or nuttier, though, Tom Arnold or Michael Cohen.
Well, Tom Arnold's just he's a complete fruitcake. That's, I think, the way to describe him. Nuttier than a fruitcake.
And very hard when, you know, you spend 10 years taking care of somebody and their family. And look, I always knew, you know, who he was and what he was and so on. But it didn't really matter because he's a small microcosm of New York real estate. It's very different when you start looking to seeing what's happening now in the country.
Right.
In the world.
Now, you wonder, is this a way that Michael Cohen can get something out? This is what my theory is, is that he's in on this, that this is a way for him to get his story out in a different way.
Well, he walked back parts of his guilty pleas, saying that some of the things he pled guilty to, he really isn't guilty of. So that piece, I wouldn't imagine he wants to get out.
No, I think he probably wants that to get out so that maybe does he think maybe he's going to get a pardon? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe that's the goal. The whole thing just seems so weird.
It is. And the thing is that, you know, with all of these people, and you go, well, that Michael Cohen's a bad guy. These are all Trump's people. He brought them all with him. All the, you know, the best people and all that stuff. I mean, this is who we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Everybody looks like a Bond villain or a bad guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark in the entire scene here.
You do.
I just don't know. I just don't get it. All right. Checking in at
number 4.
The president, for his part today, mocked the ever-growing field of Democrats seeking his job, claiming that none of them hold a candle to him.
The Democrats are trying to win 2020. They're not going to win with the people that I see, and they're not going to win against me. The only way they can maybe luck out, and I don't think that's going to happen. It might make it even the opposite. That's what a lot of people are saying. The only way they can luck out is by constantly going after me on nonsense.
Oh, God. Wait, hold on. There's more.
If you want to litigate, go after the DNC, Crooked Hillary, the Dirty Cops, All of these things, that's what should be litigated, because that was a rigged system. And I'm breaking down. I am breaking down the swamp. If you look at what's happening, they're getting caught. They're getting fired. Who knows what's going to happen from now on? But I hope it's very strong. But if you look at drain the swamp, I am draining the swamp.
Okay. All right. Well, there he is. That's what he has to say, and he shall say it.
Yeah. I mean, you think of with as many, what are we, up to 21 candidates now on the Democrats with Biden?
Yeah, I think Biden would be 20.
Biden would be 21, set to announce tomorrow. They're doing a pretty good job of beating up on each other, and it's only just beginning.
Yeah. The only guy who's above the fray is Pete Buttigieg, and we don't even know because he's speaking French, so we're not sure what he's doing.
He speaks seven languages.
What he's doing. Does anybody need a Farsi interpreter? I can handle this.
Because in South
now.
Bend, that's really helpful, I think, right? To speak all those languages?
Well, that's probably true. Right? Big college town.
Mm-hmm. Classical pianist, Harvard grad, Oxford grad. What can't he do?
Chef.
Have an easy last name to say.
Right.
He's like a reality television star, is what he's like. But one of those PBS reality television stars that does do everything that you've got. Oh, we have to have such respect for Mayor Pete.
Is it just me, though? Does he look a little bit like Mr. Bean?
He does.
You see that?
Yeah.
He does.
Mixed with the guy, the character on Mad Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And the Elf on the Shelf. He looks a little like the Elf on the Shelf. I mean, around Christmas time, hope he's still in it, because I think we're going to put him on that Elf on the Shelf costume and see what goes on. I think it works.
Huh. He could probably do that, too, very well.
Hey, look, he's walking across a bridge of toilet paper across the toilet. Wow, look at that. All right, the three, the two, and the one are coming up. But first, let's check in now with Kim, on the web, you'll tell us what's going on in the bottom of the hour news.
Chicago police are looking for tips on a rash of overdoses on the west side.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Checking in on the Top 5
Number three.
All right, so David Curley from ABC News spoke with Oscar Munoz, the CEO of United Airlines.
Yep.
And the question really is, how come the flying experience for the vast majority of the flying public has turned from rather pleasant and interesting to a complete bleep show?
When we started flying, it was fun. People wanted to go flying. It's been a chore. Will it be fun again?
I hope so, because, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because it's become so stressful from when you leave wherever you live to get into traffic, to find a parking spot, to get through security, and TSA is doing their best they can. Frankly, by the time you sit on one of our aircrafts in one of our seats, you're just pissed at the world. And I don't care what coffee or cookie or smile I give you, you're just ready to...
What would your message be to passengers who are sometimes frustrated flying?
Somebody asked me, they said, what advice would you give other travelers? I said, empathy.
Yeah, but what about the seats?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Seats keep on getting smaller. Has that stopped? Have we reached the smallest we're going to get?
I think we are nearing a point, certainly, that...
What do you mean, nearing a point?
How come your Wi-Fi doesn't always work?
It's complicated technology, different carriers, different transmission, different aircraft. We will fix that. And frankly, we would stop a lot of our growth if we could just stop and find the right provider and get that done. That's how important Wi-Fi is to us.
It's true.
Wait, isn't that his job to figure that out?
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of answers there.
It doesn't sound like he's on it, really. We know about that.
Sounds like one of these politicians in the round table. It's a discussion we should have.
Yeah, no. You know what we should do? Is we should have a blue ribbon committee try to figure out how we should hire a better Wi-Fi company. Well, right. Okay, then, yeah, see? I can't do that's the sort of thing that I would say to you. You should hire a better Wi-Fi company. No, in their case, he can do that.
Right, he's the CEO.
Did he have a heart attack like 5 minutes on the job,
yeah.
Oscar Munoz?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a stressful job. I get it. And, you know, I love United. And United's a Chicago company. And, and it's a, you know, it's such a gigantic institution. Tens of thousands of jobs here related to it.
Sure.
And it is, it's important. And I want them to have good, strong leadership. But, you know, this is, I don't think this helps. Yeah, well, yeah, no, it does suck. Yeah, I know, I totally get it.
It has transformed, though. You think about when you were a kid, you know, going on an airplane, it was like an exciting adventure, and it felt like a fairly fun experience. I don't know if that's just the kid perspective, but it has evolved into sort of just stress from point A to point B.
Yeah. Oh, he's right about that.
And the seats are a problem. Get on that, please, Oscar.
Checking in at
number two.
Maybe you've seen all 21 of the Avengers movies. The
Lauren
Marvel
has.
Movies.
No.
Marvel
no.
Universe movies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marvel Expanded Universe movies. Easy. But now, three select AMC theaters in the U.S. are showing them all in a row.
Oh, that could help catch up.
22 movie marathon kicked off last night at 10 a.m. Last night at 10 a.m.? That doesn't make any sense. Started with 2008's Iron Man. And it's going to end with Avengers Endgame more than 24 hours later.
Oh, it goes all the way up through the new one.
Yeah.
So it's not just a prep course. Man,
well,
you really can't go to
the
bathroom.
This is my first time actually doing a marathon. So it's quite interesting, but also quite exhausting as well. For every movie, it's 20 minutes. And like there's a big one. There's only three big breaks. So there was one for 1 hour. This one is for two. And the last one would be a little bit longer than this one.
It's been a rough 24 hours, but pushing through it. Taking little naps here and there, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but enjoying the movies and can't wait until tomorrow for Endgame.
Yeah, big one. There's going to be a big, I got your big one for you right here.
It's very Roe Strong of them to power through.
Yeah. And finally,
number one.
What did Jimmy Fallon think about the Kraft Heinz disappointing financial performance?
Oh, some business news here. After a rough couple of months, Kraft Heinz announced that they're getting rid of their CEO. Yeah. And Heinz is going to get him out the only way they know how, flipping him upside down and whacking him in the butt.
Show with Anna DeVlantis on WGN Everywhere. It's the web, and God knows what'll happen here now.
Lord knows. Hey, there's some good news out there. I just saw across. You know the Stanley's Fruit Market's been there a long, long, long time.
Sure.
Along the river
Pete
there.
The Greek, I love him.
And it's closed.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, and there was a little sign on the door that said, "Hi, we're closing. Workers, come on Monday and pick up your check, or come on Wednesday and pick up your check," which is today. They had a whole bunch of other employers show up and offer them jobs.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that cool? So they had like Whole Foods was signing up people at $15 an hour. You had Moreno's Liquors of Little Village came to talk with employees about applying for a job and a couple others as well.
How you doing?
And some of those people had been there for years and years and years. I mean, you kind of knew them if you went there. I used to go there a lot when I lived a little closer. A great spot just to get fresh fruits and vegetables. And
it really turned into something, too, because Pete, the guy who did owns and runs it, I think it was his dad's originally, and then he took it over.
Yeah, it was Stanley's, his dad's.
Yeah. And Pete is, as he's known in the neighborhood, Pete the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one of those. Like, we got to figure out which Pete that is.
Pete, Nick, George.
Gus, Chris.
Common names in the Greek-American world.
So Pete wanted to like update it and make it into a very sort of a modern thing. Not only was the lighting really cool in there, if you are like a chef or you're somebody who likes to get really vegetables you can't get anywhere else, or fruit you can't get anywhere
else,
you could get all that stuff there. Then they had like their own like salad bar, restaurant, deli thing that was great that he did. And, these boxes, crates of, like, oranges and stuff, and you could smell it in the store. It was an old world, new world thing.
It really
so
was.
Cool.
Kind of a throwbacky kind of place, but very fresh. And so it was worth the trip over there to get your fruits and vegetables.
I know Black Club Chicago did a really nice job with this story, and they were talking to Pete about what it is that he has to, what really happened there. And it's tough because he had he got basically cornered from every angle.
What do you mean cornered?
He because Marianos came in, you had two Marianos that, you know, were sort of, you know, en route to Stanley's. You had the Treasure Island used to be, you know, a player, but it was too far away for that sort of stuff. But Treasure Island is gone. So we thought, oh, well, you know, there's an opportunity here. But between Marianos and the Whole Foods, and that, like, the Whole Foods over by this store at North Avenue and Clybourne is, or Elston, that this is, I mean, that that Whole Foods is like a planet. It's like its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of places definitely to get your fruits and vegetables around there. He said that they were actually pouring money into the business in recent years, that it wasn't financially really holding on it for its own, but that, you know, there is so much development going on there on that north branch of the Chicago River. They just approved that, well, it's along the way of being approved, that new project. And so the real estate's got to be worth a lot, too, but it was a very abrupt closure, which I think was tough on some of those employees who had been there for years and years and years. But look, hey, it ended pretty well for them, it looks, because of all these different organizations showing up and saying, hey, we could use some help.
All right.
It's a nice...
it's going to be a 70-story building now, I'm assuming.
Right.
That's what they're building over there now.
Condos.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is what it is. I wanted to... wanted to ask, we were kind of talking about Game of Thrones a little earlier, and, you know, Kevin, it really annoyed him.
He gets irritated.
I know, don't get irritated.
No, you got
it. You sound, irritated right now.
Yeah.
You guys are such nerds.
You know what the funny thing about this? Just, the whole Game of Thrones close here, there's four episodes left.
Yeah, I just can't wait.
And this one's supposed to be a big battle scene, we're being told.
Well, just by the 30-second teaser that HBO released, you got to believe... something's happening.
And it's the longest episode.
Oh, is this the one that's
it's
like
an hour 20
movie, like 90 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's so many theories. This is the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a theory. And nobody knows, right?
Right, because he didn't finish writing the books yet. However, he did tell the directors and producers
what he wanted to do with these, with Songs of Fire and Fury or whatever the hell it's called.
No.
You know what?
Making stuff up. She calls you out. Yeah. I like it. Lauren's like, no.
Yeah. She's
wrong.
Like, yeah. Idiots. Wrong.
Oh.
It's like, she's like the David Hochberg of our show. Wrong.
You should give her the buzzer thing that you got, that little thing over there. And just every time you say, yeah, Lauren can press that.
I was going to say, it's never the same, though. Like that, no, 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 no. Was it holding
Anyway, do you have an operating theory about what's going to happen here? Who's going to die? What's going to happen?
No, I don't, because I've learned with this show it's not even they're just so out there.
I think everybody dies.
Everybody?
Yeah, I think everybody
what
dies.
About the dragons?
He said everybody, Kevin.
Well, I think the dragon... Well, there's going to be one dragon that's going to be flying around in a circle looking for the other dragons.
That's the one who had relations with the Arya girl, right?
Oh my
Dragon
God.
Did not oh have gosh. Relations with the.
That was Gendry.
Duh.
Yes, she the guy was he's the blacksmith.
Oh, that's right, the blacksmith.
Yeah, he was like the black. Yeah, he's like the guy who, you know, makes the swords and
but
stuff.
What was creepy about that is that they both were like 13, 14 when this started. I mean, they're pretty young, and they they've come a long way.
Yeah,
right. It was sort of strange to see Arya Stark in that situation. He wasn't the one you sort of picked out as being the one that would
There's a lot of nudity on the show, but you don't picture the kid that you saw as a small child.
So he's 31 and she's 22.
Oh, he's a lot older. I didn't realize that. He looked like a kid in the beginning.
Yeah, so that in real life.
How old is she?
22.
Sheesh.
But we just had to... She decides she thinks she's going to die tomorrow or Sunday or whenever the hell the show's got.
They look very concerned in this teaser.
Yeah.
Sansa and Arya, the sisters, the Stark sisters, are sitting there in their look like military gear.
Yeah.
Looking at something that seems to make them horrified.
Are they good guys or bad guys?
She wanted to experience physical love for the first time before she dies. That's what she said. That's because that's who she
is. If I'm going to die anyway, I might as well.
Yeah.
You know,
right, let's get it on.
Crank one up.
Right, exactly. What do we got? What are we working with here?
She was not assisting.
Right. And she was like, take your pants off. Let's go. I got my little needle here.
What?
Oh, my God. You got one, too. Oh, no. Oh, this is disappointing. But then again, we've got no choice.
Wait, needle what?
She has a sword called the needle.
Is this all code, or what are you talking about?
No, it's like a, well, it looks like a needle. I mean, her sword is a not, you know, like a big, thick, you know, like swinging around sword like the guys have. She's got like this little needle sword that's more, it looks a little bit more like a pointer that Tom Skilling would be using at a map somewhere.
Is it powerful? Does it have magical power?
No, but it's very deadly. She has certainly, I mean, she put it through people's eyeballs and stuff.
She's quite the fighter.
Is she evil or is she a good person in the show?
Good.
Good.
Good. And a BA. She's awesome.
We want her to be, I mean, if anybody makes it out of this thing.
Yeah, I want it to be her,
I want it to be her, because I think what's going to happen, see, what we've already learned here is that the queen, mother of all dragons,
yep,
first of her name,
Daenerys,
Danny, as they're calling her now. I don't know why they're calling her Danny. Danny.
Well, it's weird because,
you're my uncle.
Here's my theory with this, only her brother ever called her Danny, and then he randomly started calling her Danny.
What if Thanos shows up and kills everybody?
Yeah, that could be something fun.
All anyway, of Lauren's worlds
so
combined.
Not, so the point that a lot of people are trying to make here is that Daenerys, the, you know, the star of the show, the you know, the girl
the
with the silver hair, the mother of all dragons.
Yeah,
she is, you know, kind of her attitude has changed. Now they got to kill her. It's like that rule.
You know, I'm rooting for her still.
You are still rooting for her. What about Jon Snow? Because you can't have both. Because now they're gonna have to fight with each other.
Maybe they
work it out.
Yeah, maybe they work it out.
Here's the problem I got with the Game of Thrones. It's as simple as this.
Okay.
Too much incest. There's just too much incest.
That.
No. Mm-mm. You got a brother and sister getting it on. You got now with the Jon Snow and the Daenerys. They got that is an aunt and nephew.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, ah, come on.
But again, their family is into that. They want to keep it pure. The family
pure.
I think that's healthy.
I don't think it is.
But what about the aunt and the nephew? Is that okay?
I mean, they had it. It was a damn good sex scene. But then I had to stop and think to myself, oh my God, I'm watching an aunt and a nephew having a sex scene. And then it was, and the other sex scenes that are good, I mean, let's face it. This is like, the television now, people don't read anymore. They just watch these things the way they used to read books, right? In volumes, and you know, everybody wants to discuss it. And there's a, you know, the Game of Thrones club, and everybody sits around and discuss. You know, there is.
Kevin's so jealous. He wants to join.
I know.
So,
they won't let me in.
There's getting to be some, you know, hot sex scenes. Remember when that show started, it was nothing but hot sex scenes.
Yes. It really was
a lot of nudity,
very racy.
Yeah, and just a ton of incest. And that, again, the brother and sister, they were good looking. But this is not right. It's just not right.
I think that's why a lot of people didn't get past the first episode.
Well, I watched the first two, and yeah, the brother and sister were getting it on, and then some kid fell off the window, and then I'm like, I'm done with this show.
Very important what happened with the kid.
Very important
distinction.
There.
Really,
definitely did not fall.
Yeah, he did. He was freaked.
Pushed.
Oh, yeah. The brother is like, time out, sister, I'll be right back with you. And then he pushes the kid off the thing.
And I'm life like, short or whatever he said.
No, he says, what I do for love.
What I do for love. Yes, thank you. Oh, my God. She's like,
Lauren, you're incredible.
She's like, the whole time, she's like,
you
tell
got another
me,
one wrong.
You're an idiot, Ro.
I watched all the like extra things on HBO on demand.
So what's your theory then? You're the smartest one here on this. What's your theory?
I really don't know.
Oh, come on. You have to have a theory.
So everyone's battling to be the new, with the king or queen, right, of the thrones, of the Iron Throne.
To rule the seven kingdoms.
Rule all seven kingdoms. So the presumption is that somebody will.
Who runs them now?
They're all divided.
Yeah, they don't.
General Motors.
So it depends on who you ask, technically.
Donald Trump.
But who's on the throne?
Technically, Cersei sits on that.
Damn, throne. Cersei.
Cersei, yeah.
Classic Cersei, just running seven kingdoms, no big deal.
Right, so, and you know, having sex with her brother.
Having
she's pregnant. She's
brother.
Knocked up by her brother now.
That's not. It's gonna.
This sounds like a Maury episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cousin Cooter's like, I know.
I do know about that.
Who's the daddy episode kind of thing?
You always can tell because we do have a couple cousins. They got the sloped head.
Sloped head.
And we just knew that was because, you know, that was, and that was first cousin. So I can't even imagine what would happen if you, you know, with brother and sister. I mean, you might not even have a head at all.
Well, it didn't
just
well
a big angle.
Yeah.
totally creepy.
Anyway, that's a point. That is a point. I don't understand what goes. Why do we have to have the incest? Why do we have to have that?
I don't know. I mean, it's fantasy. I don't know. This is what they do.
Maybe that was kind of a thing historically that a lot of kingdom type.
Only on Pornhub is that a thing.
Right.
Like, there's entire categories.
That category is next to the Bob Kraft.
How do we always get back to this?
I don't know. It's like, well,
bring Bob Kraft.
Ted Cruz. Right?
Accidentally
tweeted. Accessed.
Well, his intern accidentally did it. It was an aide, he said. An aide, yes.
Who liked a Pornhub video on his Twitter page.
Yes.
That happened to be his stepmom.
Yeah.
It was a stepmom video, yeah.
Then we all had to watch it for research for the show.
Yes, she was a very nice stepmom. She was very loving and caring. And then Bruce came over. Bruce was hiding in the shrubbery, and he was watching his stepdaughter while she was actually hosing herself off while cleaning the car. And the next thing you know, they went in and they made mac and cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
Bob Kraft showed up.
Oh, gee.
That'd be your update now. Anyway, have I proven now to you, Lauren Lapka, that you better come up with a solution here? You better come up with a theory.
Well, if you could save one character, who would it be?
Oh, if I had to choose?
Yeah, to choose the one. Because a lot of people are about ready to die if you look at this video. Look at what they're releasing. I mean, this is an epic battle.
I guess Arya, just because she's a boss. Like, I love a lot of them, but... she's... I don't know how to describe her, but I wish I was as cool as her.
Can't they all just get along?
What if the only one left is Peter Dinklage?
Because he's in the crypt. He went down into the little basement area, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, everyone in the crypt is dying. I have a feeling they're getting taken out. Yeah. I think in one moment. Right? I mean, the only thing left at the end of the deal is Peter Dinklage and Samwell Tarly are the only two people left.
Well, he's the one, honestly, the Reddit did a poll of, like, super fans, and they want him to be the one that survives.
Samwell Tarly or?
Yeah.
Or Samwell Peter Dinklage?
No, Samwell Tarly. I don't know. That's who they voted for.
Not that I don't, it's not like I don't like him, but he's also not super interesting to me.
I know, he's not. But he's the one who informed Jon Snow that who his true identity is.
Yes.
Right. And the dragon glass. And,
yeah, the dragon glass.
And he was the first one to kill a White Walker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
No big deal. Kill the White Walker. That was the first one. No big deal.
I don't know why they have to kill the White Walkers. That doesn't seem right to me. Sure. Go kill the White Walkers. I don't know how this is all going to end, but I just know that Jaime Lannister is going to get his head cut off on the first rush.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He had a good run, though.
Yeah, the golden hand. Although that looks uncomfortable.
He always looks uncomfortable.
Yeah. And he's got...
Fulu had the golden hand.
Right. The golden hand, right. Yeah. That's actually extra, too. Golden hand. Cersei's going to be here at the end, though, because remember, she's laying in wait. She's back down at Knott's Landing.
She's not coming for the battle.
What if there's no violence at all? They all just shake hands and agree to get along, and then move on.
You have not seen the Night Walkers.
The Night King. Wait, there's White Walkers and Night Walkers?
Night King and the White Walkers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah. So easy to follow.
Wait till you find out about the Night King. Ooh. Wait till you try to figure out who the hell he is.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, I have my own theories about this.
How does Lauren have no theories? Last night she talked about Game of Thrones for like 3 hours. We sat around the table. Today she's got nothing.
See, Kevin's getting irritated again.
Because I know nothing. I am Jon Snow. But I only know what I've seen. I can't predict this show because it just, once you think it's going in one direction, it slaps you in the face like a wet fish.
Do you think that I have ever worried about whether my predictions are going to come true? Do you think I have ever once concerned myself with that? Because I Donald Trump learns from me. You can say anything, and then people go, remember when he said that? They go, no, I don't really remember when he said that. And that, we say so much.
And then you make another prediction, so people forget about that one. You just keep moving on.
You take credit for predictions you didn't make.
Yeah.
You did predict he would win the presidency, though.
Yes, I did predict that Donald Trump would win the presidency 3 weeks out. That's true. But I don't know if I even believed it. I just thought this would be wild if it happens, and it did. And now it turned from being wild to wild.
Yeah.
Sorry, America.
Kim, do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I tried because my kids are really into it, and I just couldn't get into it. I'm just not one of those fantasy.
Yeah, the medieval fantasy
not
magic.
My thing.
Me neither.
I'm not either.
I mean, who wants it? These people don't have good hygiene.
My sister tried to get me into Outlander, too, and I couldn't get into that either.
That's kind of like a more sophisticated 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
My sister is really into it. She's read the reread the book several times.
Ted Cruz would like that one.
I think I'd like that. Is there a stepdaughter in it?
I don't think so.
No queso either. It was before queso was invented.
Yeah.
Does this take place like in a fantasy world kingdom thing?
Kind of. She falls back in time.
Yeah,
in
she's a time traveler.
Damn.
And she goes back to Scotland.
It's impressive.
Yeah, and if you've ever been to Scotland, it is like going back in time.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, there's too many of these things. There are too many
of
them.
It's so true.
I don't know where to begin. What am I going to do? What are we going to do after Game of Thrones? What
not
do we do
talk
now?
About it.
You have to watch Fauda. Have you ever watched Fauda?
We're going to not talk about it. No, I will still talk about it.
I'm telling you.
Fauda?
Fauda, it's on Netflix. It's unbelievable, and the third season's about to come out. You have to watch it.
Netflix. I can't even. I'm sure this happens to a lot of people. I've got the Prime, the Netflix, and the Hulu.
Yeah.
Extra.
I do too.
And I go around. It's like a daisy chain. I go from the Netflix. I'm looking at. I'm going through all the different shows. Mm-hmm. The little postage stamps. Mm-hmm. Shows I go. And I'm swiping right essentially. Going that. Not interested. Not interested. Not interested. Not interested. And then I'm like, well, maybe there's something on Hulu. And I do that for Hulu. 95 minutes later, I'm too tired to watch anything and I go to sleep.
See, I find they get to know your taste so well, so much that they're always recommending things for me that I'm like, okay, I'm going to like that.
How does it know? And, there's like this whole like Nordic noir, they call it, that's like that I think that Prime has.
Mm-hmm.
They bought a bunch of these shows where there's people wearing, they're on snowmobiles and wearing snow jackets, but they're foreign police officers solving crimes of Nordic foreign-looking people.
Wait, this is part of Game of Thrones?
No, it's a totally separate deal. It's like, it takes place in the modern era. It's like those European cop shows. I can't get into it. I just can't.
I wonder why.
That really sounds so really good sell on it, though.
Oh, that sounds horrible, but dragons and wizardry and whatever the hell else. And incest is so appealing to everybody.
Now, wait a second.
You are in the minority, Kevin. Just let it go.
I realize that. I don't get it.
Just wait a second. Because you stop and you think about it. First of all, who thought they could fall in love with a dragon? Like, right? Because it turns out the dragons have feathers. I did not realize that.
Somehow I'm feeling for the dragons.
Yeah.
I really feel for them.
You watch them grow up, too.
You do. Yeah. And you just feel for the dragon. I didn't think I could. But
I remember when they dropped right out of her. And
What?
Yeah.
Wait, the dragons are getting them?
Yeah. Remember she like dropped eggs or something?
She didn't drop them. They were in there and then the place burned.
I love hearing Lauren get so mad at Ro.
Lauren's like, what?
Lauren's like, you're an idiot.
Again.
You don't know anything. There weren't eggs, you moron.
Get your backstory
I'm never
fresh.
Watching the same TV show as Lauren. I will never, ever.
Fact-checked single thing.
Hold on. When Daenerys had the dragons, because she gave birth to the dragons, right?
No, she did not. She got the eggs as a wedding present when she married Drogo.
Yeah.
And then they were in that little hut that ended up burning down. And so she went in because she wanted to kill herself,
because she can't burn because she's a Targaryen.
She didn't know that yet. She wanted to kill herself. She went in there and she found that she was... not flammable.
I miss Drogo. I'd like to see him come back.
He had a good run.
Well, we've seen him. He's in a bunch of other
Aquaman.
Stuff. Now. Yeah, and he just
but
shaved
like
his
him
beard.
To be the
you want to see him? Maybe he's the Night King.
I don't think so because he's always pictured with Lisa Bonet, his wife, doing things like he's nowhere near the Game of Thrones people.
Ro, are you sure you're watching the same show?
You're telling me I'm wrong. Are you
watching the show for real?
That Khal Drogo is not the Night King because he's with Lisa Bonet. That's what you're telling me now. That's what this has come to.
Yes.
All right. No, wait. I got to wait.
It's a theory.
Did she have? Didn't somebody have something really weird come out of them on this show?
Well.
Was it the Red Witch or whatever? Didn't somebody have something like totally creepy, weird, like fall out of them?
Yes.
Well, who was that?
That was Melisandre. You're talking about
The
what fell out?
It was like
her?
A smoke monster type thing. It was
that came
weird.
Out of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to go kill the king, I believe.
Right.
I think it did.
Yeah.
I can't. Man, it's been a while since I watched those.
What was she losing a step here?
Well, that's like how many years ago?
That was season two?
I just remember that, I mean, there was weird things going in and going out of people. And I wasn't quite sure how I felt about any of it. I was confused. I thought, you know, am I supposed to like this? Am I not supposed to like this? If I like this, is there something wrong with me? Are they going to arrest me for liking this? And then all of a sudden, there's like a scene where this woman is standing there, and then there's stuff coming like out of her, you know, from down there. And you're like, hey, wait a second. Oh, no. What? You can't do that. And this thing took shape and, like, walked away from her.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, what the? And then what goes on there? All right, can I go back to the dragons? So she got the dragons. Yeah. So the dragons, so as soon as the dragons hatched out of the eggs, they were in eggs, right? I got that part right?
Yes.
Because I don't remember this either.
Yeah, the three eggs were gifted to her at the wedding.
Okay. So she got the eggs. She wants to go burn herself. She can't. She figures out that she's, you know, the queen, first of her name, blah, 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 right? And then she likes to make that speech to everybody when she walks in somewhere wearing really cool clothing, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
She's got the nicest outfits.
She has really cool clothing.
Yeah. So she, the dragons, you know, they cracked out of the eggs, and they just started growing, right?
Well, they were, where they come from? For a while. And you even see them in, like, their little teen era. So, they, yeah, they've been growing, but they were small.
Okay.
They were like the size of a bearded dragon.
They were like little birds. They were just cute.
Yeah, and see, they grow. See, Kev, they grew up.
Fear the bird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People.
That's nice. That's adorable. Baby dragons?
Yeah. It's kind of like baby alligators, though. They grow up.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're cute. Right, when they're little. I mean, there's, you know, puppies do this too. There's certain type breeds of dogs that they're, oh, look how cute they are. Next thing you know, they're snarling at you. But that's all right. So dragons live. I think one dragon lives. Confused dragon. And takes someone off flying away. I just don't know who it's going to be.
Dang, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I think that's
that double dragon date was pretty fun.
Date.
Yeah, there was a double dragon date.
Did they get it on?
I think so.
Yeah.
But we assume they did. They took the dragons to a waterfall.
Oh, that's nice.
I didn't understand. It became like a romantic comedy. I expected Jennifer Aniston to show up in the middle of the scene.
Yeah, interesting.
It was right. It didn't exactly fit your normal Game of Thrones.
Right. Like they were gonna show up. They both got, Jon Snow and Daenerys got on dragons, and they flew to this like lush waterfall-y kind of, but still frozen island, and I thought they were going to like check into a hotel, and Jennifer Aniston was going to be the receptionist at the hotel.
Well, it was like every like date, like horseback riding on the beach kind of thing. Like first, he's afraid to get on the dragon, and she's like, "Come on, you can do it, you can do it." And then he gets on, and then he gets thrown all around the place. Remember, he like gets whacked all over by the dragon, and they land in this beautiful waterfall, and they decide, well, maybe we'll stay here and sit out the. And they say, "No, we must go back."
Mm-hmm.
But they never get it on.
Yeah. I think they got it
on. So Ted Cruz and many others would be disappointed by that episode, I would say.
I do remember when they got it on at the end of last season, though. Because they, and then I was like, ew, they're cousins. But then they're so pretty together. And I sort of liked it. I'm not supposed to like it, am I? I'm bad.
You liked
bad
it on Twitter.
Bad Ted Cruz, bad. You've got evil thoughts.
630, is it possible to OD on Game of Thrones? If so, I think you guys are all dangerously close to the edge.
Thank you. They feel my pain.
Thanks, Kev, for writing that text. Trying to get us to shut up.
Definitely not my number.
All right.
Friends in the 630.
Kim, are you sad? Would you like to? Could you do a little news for us?
Sure can.
WGN everywhere. Go ahead. Show with Anna DeBlantis, mm-hmm. Kevin Powell, Lauren Lapka,
yep.
Kim Gordon. Big cast. Don't worry, the bosses don't remind me of that every day.
How many people on the show?
A lot.
I think I heard at least 17.
Yeah.
Richard Roper is basically, you know, a member of the show.
Right. And then our two producers, and then all the other ancillary producers who are here. And they love being called ancillary. They love that. Whose names I do not know. would like to thank each and every one of them if I'd only taken the time to learn their names. Did you see this? Romance is coming. Why referencing Game of Thrones on dating apps seriously increases your chances of getting lucky.
I just updated my profile.
See, now you have a real reason to watch.
Yeah, give me some cliff notes so when I go on the date and I don't know a damn thing we're talking about.
Particularly if you mention the Red Wedding.
Hey, remember the Red Wedding? That was nuts. Is that...
Yes, that would be accurate.
Yeah, see, you're good there.
Hey, remember when the brother and sister got on? That would be kind of weird.
That'd be weird to mention that. Yeah, no.
By the way, do you have a hot sister? Wait, what? See, now that's... Cab, you can't do it like that. Yeah. See, that's where it gets weird.
Yeah. But Red Wedding, that's a big one, huh?
Red
Wedding?
The Red Wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, the data was collected by dating service Zoosk. Do you know that one?
I've seen an ad for that on Facebook.
In partnership with Mashable. In order to gather the data, the service analyzed 375,000 messages exchanged between the matches and their website. On the website. And our results found that mentioning popular scenes like the Red Wedding is in a conversation actually increases your response rate by 376%. If you mention Jon Snow, you go up by 43%.
Is he still on the show? Is he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jon Snow's still there. Okay. If you mention Hodor, you go up 120%.
Is he still on the show?
No. Well, I don't know. I think he might be dead. I think Lauren, I saw him walking with the dead people.
Yeah, he is no more. It was a very sad end.
Who is the big giant guy who was like just squeezing, like popping skulls with one hand? Is that the same show?
The one who's partially burned on his head?
I don't know. I remember, the guy's huge.
Well, they have giants in there, but one of them is now on the bad side.
Yeah, we're not happy about that.
At least one of them.
Don't tell me he flipped. Jeez.
Well, when he dies, you flip automatically.
Oh.
Well, okay.
Wasn't there a guy named like the Tower or something? He was mad.
Oh, you're talking about the Mountain.
Mountain dude.
Yeah, right? The Mountain is Cersei's bodyguard, basically.
Oh, he's big.
Is he still around?
He's blue. Mm-hmm. He's got blue skin underneath his.
Yeah, because he almost died.
Big thing.
What does that mean?
They bring people back here.
I don't know what they're doing.
I'm getting whiplash. See, this, I got my left, road to my right.
I think one of the things that goes on here is because you know this is a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, mm-hmm. right?
Sure. So, it really is arguably the best TV show in recent history. Obviously, TV's not that old. But and a lot of it is because of how many people watch it.
I just don't want it to end. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
you just get attached to these shows. They become part of your life.
Did you ever stop to think that these dopes who are producing the thing aren't dopes at all? And they're going to like go, hey.
Like a spinoff.
They're doing prequels.
That's what they were talking about. It might be a prequel.
And then there'll be something where the Jon Snow returns in a sitcom.
People are too obsessed with this whole Dungeon Dragons medieval thing.
Would you rather us be obsessed with politics?
Yeah, I would, actually.
But it's so depressing.
Things that matter.
No.
Everyone needs an escape from reality.
Right. That's the unfortunate reality that we're stuck with this here. It's the same thing. It's like the White House is very much like the Lannisters, right? It's the same. Everybody's fighting with everybody else, and they're when somebody's getting poisoned, another guy's like choking on something. And they're just,
But that's what people always sell me on it, because every day there's at least one Game of Thrones watcher who tries to sell somebody on the show. Like you gotta watch it, and they always bring up the politics of the show. Is that accurate?
Politics.
I
don't think you do think about it. You think about
back, like, no.
I mean, they mean that in the sense of trying to achieve the throne.
Government. Right.
Yeah. It's about
navigating your way through and all.
Right. Merciless power grabbing. That's sort of what it's all about.
Classic power grab.
Power grab. There's some keister grabbing. There's all kinds of grabbing that goes on in this show.
Keister.
So I don't even know how to even describe what goes on. I don't know though. I wonder, is this the best television show of all times? It might have to be.
It can't be.
That's something that they're arguing.
Well, you think about the cinematography alone and the battle scenes and like the epic nature of so many of these episodes. It's like a feature film, right?
So much money poured in.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the settings. I mean, there are people, there's like a tourism industry that has sprung up around Game of Thrones and the places where they shoot because people want to see them for themselves.
Yeah, we get to go to a pop-up bar Saturday morning for Game of Thrones. There's no place I'd rather be on planet Earth.
Did I tell you?
We're going to convert you, Kevin.
I got that thing to a tea time.
I suppose it probably is, because I thought Sopranos was the best TV show I'd ever seen, mm-hmm. and it still stands up. You can watch it to this day, and the acting is great, and the writing is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are moments where it gets a little weird on you, kind of gets away from you. There's a couple, like there's an entire season where the whole thing is just kind of dreamy and weird.
Yeah.
And then there's Mad Men, which I think is the most beautifully shot, like, human show, not science fiction show, but, like, you know, that's the art direction and the way everybody looks and the ethereal mood.
I've watched the final episode of Mad Men, like, 20 times.
Did you watch the whole series?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Sopranos are,
yeah,
like, those three.
And then Breaking Bad, of course. Breaking
Sunday Night Football. Phenomenal.
And that's it. That's it for Kev. Nothing else.
Sunday Football is a hell of a production, okay, people? Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, right. The production
team. That takes care of Sunday. I mean, yeah. It does.
That's and a true. Football life on the NFL Network. That's a good one.
I think College Game Day.
College Game Day?
I think you got to go College right. Game Day. Best TV show of all time.
Monday Night Football is up there. They really faded over the past couple of years.
No, yeah, Monday Night Football sucks.
It does kind of
They just put a fat guy in a chair, and then they roll him back and forth in the... on the sidelines, and you're like, what is he doing? Hey, Boomer, what's it like down there? I don't know. I can't get down. I got to go to the bathroom.
Fans are throwing beers at him because he's blocking their view.
It's like, what? Why did that? That's the thing. Monday Night Football was the most important sports television show of its day, by far. And it had, because it was like this crazy, they put, like, you know, political commentators and other people in the booth, and they wanted to make it a show beyond just the football on the field. And now it is, you know.
Now nobody wants the gig. Peyton Manning reportedly turned down the offer. Jason Witten's like, get me the hell out of here. I'm going back to playing football.
Who's doing it now?
Jason Witten and a guy
who... No, Witten's gone. Remember Witten's
playing? Well, it was Jason Witten until the... And Jason Witten is arguably the worst... color announcer in the history of color announcers.
Really? Yes. Even worse than the commercials during March Madness?
Oh, gee.
That guy? Please don't remind me of those.
I'll tell you something. I would take that guy over Jason Witten.
Wow.
Every day of the week and twice on Monday night. Because he's just... It. No matter what he says, it actually subtracts from the sum total of knowledge that's going on in the game.
It was really a disaster.
Man, I'm really upset I missed it. I was always going to bed before Monday night football.
Now you don't have to worry about it anymore. You can stay up. And, I mean, the only thing that was worse on Monday Night Football was when they put Dennis Miller in the booth.
Rush had a stint, too.
Yeah, Rush had a stint for one game.
What did he say?
Why is he doing that? Oh, look at the liberals running down the field.
No, it had to do with Donovan McNabb saying that the media was giving him too much love because he's black. It was something very over the top.
Oh, he said something?
Yeah, true, it was something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. And then they're like, you got to go, Rush. You had a good run here.
Have you noticed that the liberals are always in the running positions? Running backs? So the conservatives are the quarterbacks because they run the whole thing. Like, oh, shut up.
That wasn't needed.
And Dennis Miller was like, cha-cha. Did you? You're like, I don't know. What is he doing there? I want like football guys. That's why Chris Collinsworth, I think, is as great as they get.
Oh, really? Yeah. He bothers me. I don't know. He just comes across like, I know he knows what he's talking about, but it just feels like he's trying to smush everyone's face in it. Like,
I get very frustrated when they're not happy with the game, which is understandable as a viewer. You have to watch the game if it's a blowout or if it's just not
a good
mm-hmm. matchup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's like, come on, your job is to make it interesting for us. Don't make it worse.
And why does he have to dress exactly like his partner there? What's going on there?
With Al Michaels?
Al Michaels. And they always have like the matching outfits.
Now they put Al Michaels just in ill-fitting sweaters.
Right. Yeah. It's like Mr. Rogers sweaters are a little baggy.
Yeah, they're baggy, but they're quarter zips, and they're like, and he's got the tie, and they're like, is it time for Mr. Michaels to go into the day room? And then they wheel him in. It's
a strange thing.
It is a strange thing when you watch it, but they're still great. And Al Michaels is a great, 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 great announcer. And I love Chris Collinsworth. And I love, and you know, on the college football, the ABC Sunday night game, I think is amazing.
Saturday night game.
Saturday night game. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I say.
Who's that guy? He's got an Italian name. They go to him in the like stands sometimes for rules and stuff like that. He's always cold.
Gene Steratore or whatever.
Yeah, that guy. I like that guy.
He's on CBS,
well,
right?
You're thinking of the referee official or the guy? You're talking about the big guy.
Big guy.
You're talking about.
He's funny. Like that guy.
Saragusa.
Reminds me of like a guy you might see on Grand Avenue. Like, well, they're like, let's go to Saragusa. Yeah, him. And then he's just got that personality.
See, it's interesting.
A cast member of Sopranos. He was a New York
exactly.
Jet.
Yeah. Oh, he was a Jet. I didn't know that.
He played a Russian mobster in the 25th Hour, the Spike Lee movie.
Now let's make another obscure reference. They would put him in the end zone, and he'd sit there, and he goes, "Hey, you know, I don't really know what's going on in the game."
I think that's great. I love that.
But I just had a beef, and I'm going to tell you, this beef is so good.
He's talking about what normal fans are talking about.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I
like him.
So the Saturday night game on. I mean, this is the golden era of television. This really is. You know, people want to talk about what the 1950s were like. Well, the 1950s television was on a 6x6 inch screen. It was in black and white.
Yeah.
And everybody had to get around. You know, no one could. Not everybody in the room could see the screen.
And everything shut down at night. We had the national anthem, right?
Right.
And then it was just fuzz. Yeah.
No, it was very that. Oh,
people like me would not be happy with that.
It was so.
I'm up all night.
Depressing. I could not, like the TV, they'd play, like you said, the national anthem, and then it would be the same thing every time. And then they would announce that the whole thing was ending. Every night, I felt like I was dying. Every night, I was like, okay, this is my funeral.
Stuck in purgatory.
And then I'm waiting for 6 o'clock in the morning to come by. And then all of a sudden, the thing like lights up again.
It's like how kids must feel now when their battery dies.
Yeah,
on the iPad.
They're like, oh, they're losing their life.
What they do now, though, is they get your phone,
or they grab your cord and they plug it in.
Yes, all right,
that's what they do. But there is so much great content out there. Netflix just started to pay and producing everything, and you've got stars lining up. I mean, there's so much out there. It's crazy.
I mean, it's nearly impossible to keep up with all the shows.
It is. Mm-hmm. And all the good shows, even. You know, like, it just seems like everyone's got, you know, things. You got to check this out. You got to check this out. There's so much good stuff.
Best baseball show? ESPN Sunday Night Baseball?
That one's sort of been kind of in a transition period. I would say some of the MLB Network stuff, daytime programming. Like High Heat with Kevin Millar's on that. Some of that stuff's pretty good. But one of the best football shows is Good Morning Football on the NFL Network.
I've watched that one.
It's outstanding. Of all of, like, the NBA, the MLB, the NFL, that's the best show probably from like the league networks, Good mm-hmm. Morning Football. Watch it every morning.
I can't afford the NFL Network.
They're taking that away or something,
for
right?
AT&T and Newverse.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I have it all. I have every network. I've got
providers at this house.
Right, I do.
And 22 televisions.
Universe.
I have 18 televisions.
Thank you.
Actually, I found a 19th one.
We just found
in
it?
In a drawer, yeah. My daughter needed it for something.
You can't watch it there.
I know. Well, you can, though. I could stick my head in the drawer and watch it if I really had to. I'm so afraid to be without a television.
It's like the
greatest fear of my life. And it goes back to when the TV used to go, you know, off the air.
All poltergeisty.
When we were kids, you got yelled at for watching so much TV. Now, if you don't watch a show, we're like, well, you don't watch any shows? What are you doing with your free time? I'm
totally
like, sorry, I don't watch TV all day. Back, you know,
who rides a bike? What?
Weird.
kids don't do that anymore.
It's true.
They really don't.
Yeah.
Being grounded from the TV. It's like you got in trouble as a kid. It's like you're not watching. You're watching too much TV. Now it's like you get yelled at for not watching a certain amount of TV shows.
Well, it's Fortnite now, right? Isn't it? The kids.
It is still pretty hot.
Is still pretty hot.
So,
it's free. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. what's nice.
That's why it became so big. Because you didn't have to pay for it.
That's the deal. Like, the kids aren't even watching television. They're taking part in this. And now that's going to be the whole deal. Because now we're going to have leagues of people shooting each other.
It's becoming a professional sport.
I know.
It's great.
Yeah. People are getting actual scholarships to college for mm-hmm. it.
Lots of money.
I don't get it.
Another thing I got yelled at for doing too much of is playing video games. Now they're like, yeah, now you get a scholarship for playing video games. You can't throw a football, but you can in the video game. It's the whole video game watching thing to me is completely bizarre.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. YouTube people that They have so many followers of just them playing games and talking. Why?
I know. It's a strange thing. I think that is... How old are those people usually? Like 12? 13? Are they older than that?
No. There was some guy. There's some guy like Squiggy or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what is his name? That like talks. He's got a good British accent. And he talks to the kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you going to play with me?
Oh, my God.
On my screen.
Yeah, what is
and you're like, and I, honest to God, it's like you want to call the police. You want, it's like, no, stop watching Squiggy.
If we background checked this guy.
We're going to play.
This is good, because he says his name in a really obnoxious,
puppy,
high-pitched tone in the middle of it for no reason.
There must be something to that.
You know, that guy watches Game of Thrones, that's for sure.
Hey! There's just something very weird about the dude, and it's like, and he's talking to your kids. And then next thing you know, you look at your kids, and then, you know...
Okay, if some weird guy started talking to me through video games when I was a kid and my dad walked through the room, he'd take the video game console out in the backyard and smash it with a baseball
bat. That also would be banned, for sure.
What the hell was that? Who? Wants to watch him play? He'd rip it out of the wall and smash the thing.
Pongo or something is the guy's name. It's like Pongo. Wait, all right, there goes from Lauren again. Okay, so his name's not Pongo. I don't know whatever the hell his name is. But it's weird because he's like, oh, you missed a point. We're going to have to take our socks off now.
Oh, ew. He does not. God. Tell me he does not. Oh.
I haven't actually watched a full video, but I've seen the clips, and yeah, he's a bit weird.
Yeah,
yeah,
weird.
It gets weird, man. I don't know, but old enough to know better.
He seems late 20s.
Yeah,
a freak.
Oh, that's very bad. You've been very bad. Now we spank ourselves.
Oh, yuck.
Just telling
yuck.
You. Well, YouTube is social media and YouTube are the exact opposite. To me, of what this great moment of television, because they're taking away, because it's just a bunch of people fighting, and it's the
world crying about something,
and the world's dirty mind, right? It's a way that people are finding whatever they don't think that they can say out loud to their friends and the people immediately around them, they can go say online to their group of friends, or think, or do, or it's a fetish, or a hatred, or it's a this, or it's a that. And it's like, you're and at the end of it, you're like, who is, it makes people into complete morons.
Well, it's true. It's like there's like an impetus for people to want to out-stupid each other, right? Because then one guy does something stupid, so then you want to go like, okay, watch this. And you get more likes.
You get shows like Jackass.
Followers, yeah. Yes, exactly. That's what,
which is very dangerous.
Trying to out-jackass each other.
I love watching Jackass.
Then you get presidents like Donald Trump. I think that's the end
thing. The natural follow.
Oh, my God. Don't you think that there are people who are like, hey, watch this. I went to the polling place in 2016. I hold my beer and watch this. What? Look what I'm going to do. Oh, I love this guy. I mean, he's going to suck as president, but I love it. Oh, it's going to be fun.
It ain't Hillary, so I'm good. Let's see what happens. Let it fly.
What could go wrong?
Let it rip.
Trump,
get him in there. Oh, Trump, fellas, you ain't gonna believe what I did to that vote for that Trump, fellas. It's gonna be funny as hell.
I think that's exactly what happened. And they're like, oh, this is great.
I ain't voting for that liberal Hillary. Screw her.
And you know, he's playing around with the Russians. That's fine. They just want their empire back.
He's got one of them hot foreign wives walking around with him.
I mean, let's face it. He's got the best looking wife, so he wins.
Goals.
I've heard people say that.
Come on.
Oh my God.
People are so stupid. I believe that.
No, that is absolutely true. It's like, well, what about his? You know, like,
oh yeah, well, he gets a hot wife,
and I'm like,
stuff like
gets,
that.
Gets.
You know, I like the way we talk about it.
Like, right.
I'm just telling you what morons that I've talked to say.
I like that you and Ro can connect us to the moron.
We're around them.
Yeah, I guess we're around them too much.
We're around them.
Trim off some of my.
See, here's what morons
friends.
Are saying.
Right. The latest on the world of morons.
Dude, this just in from the moron world.
Yeah.
So you see what Trump did? Yeah, but his wife's hot. You're an idiot. Hillary sucks. I'm like, okay.
I don't want to get into politics here, but I will say this, that Hillary should if I'm Hillary, if I'm advising Hillary, I tell her to go on a really long retreat in Norway. Maybe she could. Maybe she can go find. Maybe she could do like a Game of Thrones tour and find the big, you know, waterfall or whatever it is,
and research socialism while she's there.
Yes,
because it'll be helpful for her party.
These are the notes I found at these socialist countries. We should apply this, this, and this.
Samuel Tarly had them in the crypt, and he was going through them, and I'm going to go through them now.
A PewDiePie! PewDiePie is the video guy.
There's something weird about that,
because my daughter follows a bunch of videos that have to do mostly with princesses and then, like, post-princess stuff, and somehow he starts shooting us emails, and we never even followed him. So he's got some weird tech thing, analytics thing going on there that he's just
there's a guy connecting in ways we never
signed up to follow him.
Is it Squidgy? What's the guy?
PewDiePie.
What's the guy?
She just found it.
That's not PewDiePie.
Yes,
there's another one.
Oh. PewDiePie is like... Well, you, the one you said Pongo, it's PewDiePie. He does like the PewDiePie, and everyone does it, and it's really annoying. Yeah. He's super popular.
I don't get it.
And now we're going to have a spanking.
Oh, God.
No. And people are leaving these... I don't even know, you know... They're leaving their children to be trained up. And so when your kids are going... Like, when I got to kindergarten, I was a complete moron. I knew nothing. I could barely figure out how to eat and go to the bathroom. And now kids are going to kindergarten and they're already
speaking two languages.
Pythagorean theorem. They're like, they got the whole thing worked out because it's all right there on their screens.
My nieces and nephews, it's unbelievable. They're 2, 3 years old and they have iPads and they're swiping through. They know all the shortcuts. Yeah. They look like an expert navigating the iPad screen. Like, I don't even know how to do half this stuff.
There's like a Facebook for kids that are in like the 6 to 12 year old range. I think it's called TikTok. And literally, I had a bunch of kids at my house. One of the girls was on there. You dance and you like send it out there. And this little 6 year old girl.
You record yourself dancing?
Yeah, you record yourself dancing and you put it out there. This little girl was doing it when she's at my house. And I was like, well, what are you doing? She's dancing. She posted it. And then suddenly something like 50 people liked it, and that just creeped me out because I'm like, there's no way 50 of your 6-year-old friends are watching it right now. Who is watching it?
Here's another creepy alarm situation. Yes, exactly.
And PewDiePie's watching it.
So my niece is sitting on the couch. She's 4. She's got the iPad out. She's watching a kid play with like a new toy that's coming out.
That's a big thing. No, it's called unboxing, and it's they like to watch as people unbox.
I can understand the child watching another child like the toy, and but the fact that parents are filming their kid playing with a toy and then putting it online, I mean, again.
The number one guy is called Ryan in that space. He's probably 7 now. He started when he was
making
like 2.
Making a lot of cheddar.
$9 million a year. $9 million a year. My point is
you're putting that on the internet. There are total weirdos out there who are probably watching this who aren't children.
Unwrap the box
real
slowly.
That's what they do.
They do. Me out, man.
Really weird comments.
It's strange. Like, when you were a kid, did you care about, the unboxing part of it?
You just ripped the box open.
You're like, sometimes I gotta see what's in there.
I sometimes lived in the box.
Right, if it was a big enough cardboard box, that became the toy, right?
Yeah. But then, or you stuffed your sibling into the box. Here, get in there, and then you tape them in.
You did that?
And listen, because the TV was going off, I didn't know what to do.
What else are you
going to
do?
Get in the box!
Speaking of the amount of TV and content out there, in the past 30 minutes, I've gotten 2 messages. 1, please stop talking about Game of Thrones. It's a foreign language to me. 2, have you seen this particular documentary on Hulu? It's like all people talk about is TV shows, documentaries, movies, Netflix, Hulu.
You know, the documentary movement is really about trying to make yourself sound smart. That is 90% of the documentary stuff.
Right. You recite everything you've learned over the past hour of the documentary.
Oh, haven't you seen The Natural Earth? This is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen.
True. People get super fancy when they're discussing this thing. The only docs that I really, that are like dumb guy docs, which I liked, was the Fire Festival one, too, because everyone in that's a moron. Every one of those people that's going to the Fire Festival is like, they're like, oh, dude!
I'm not going to eat that.
No, my tent is wet. Shut up.
Kind of was a moron crime.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. It totally was.
So you guys were there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You and Kev.
Yeah, I took a loan out for my dad. Dad, I can't miss it. It's the event of the year, man.
But because there's a documentary for everything. Right. So it's like, you know, the financial, have you seen the one on the financial crisis? There's actually 16 of them. They're quite wonderful. And you're like, do I really have enough time? And I can't even tell the date because all the titles look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like the crash, the big crash, the crash after the crash.
And there's right. always like 14 about like a cocaine dealer where his life like completely fell apart from the 80s. Cocaine yes. cowboys, cocaine, whatever. Ton of that stuff. Financial crisis is a huge one. I think there's been like 100 on that.
Some celebrity ones. I don't really care.
But then it's amazing how some of these docs are actually like helping solve crimes. You've got like the R. Kelly one that comes out and suddenly you have charges that are brought against him and that the investigations these documentaries are doing are bringing things to light. That's the that part that just always shocks me. It took a lifetime mm-hmm. documentary for R. Kelly, it seems, for charges to be brought against him. Kind of wild.
The whole Making a Murderer movement.
Right.
Oh, that's yeah. true.
And Jinx.
Think about that.
Jinx with, right. what's his name? Oh yeah. my gosh.
What's those were crazy.
Pongo? Was that his name in Jinx?
Another wrong one.
Robert Durst. Robert Durst. And he yes. leaves his mic on at the end of the series, and they catch him saying some very right. sketchy things.
The end of his interview, he goes yeah. to the bathroom, and he says, of course I did it. I did it all.
Killed
I
them all.
Killed them yeah. all. Yeah. That was it.
It was really eerie, and then he ended up getting arrested. I don't know if it was like a year or so later on some small charge.
Right.
Hot mic.
Landed back in
Hot
prison.
Oops.
Yeah, lesson number one, my friend.
Wait a second. No, wait a second.
I think some broadcasters have been burned with the hot mic. This guy put his ass, even his own ass in jail with a hot mic.
Of course I killed them all.
It was super creepy the way he said it, too. Yeah. He was like, oh my gosh.
He is an eerie individual.
Oh, weird one.
And now, and just today, you got Michael Cohen on a what he thought was a conversation with his best friend.
Tom Arnold. Because I would confess everything to Tom Arnold.
And now, how would Tom Arnold ever screw me?
Yeah, that guy's well-balanced.
Does seem like every day you get asked, you know, it starts with, have you seen? And I kind of mm-hmm. go blank. I'm like, no, like, I probably haven't
I
seen
don't
it.
Have don't have hours in my life.
I'm like, no, I probably haven't.
All right, well. I think this has been a very fruitful discussion. And if you'd like to invite us to your next cocktail party, we are obviously great conversationalists.
PewDiePie worth $124 million.
What?
It's so crazy.
But there was
Swedish.
It's PewDiePie?
Yeah, PewDiePie. Swedish. He is, yeah.
And how does he say it?
PewDiePie. His real name is Felix Arvid Ulf
Kohlberg. That's how he
Kohlberg.
Says his name?
He just like
that was Avicii's
says
name, wasn't it?
In his videos.
Or Deadmau5's name? Who's isn't that?
Deadmau5 is more than one person, isn't it? Or no, Deadmau5 is one.
You got another one
Death
wrong,
Punk
bro.
Is two.
Nice drive.
Whatever happened to DJs? They don't even exist anymore. They were so 2010.
You got to have a YouTube
totally
channel.
Totally gone. Right? I mean, it's there was
like dubstep. They're yeah. kind of DJs, right?
You should do a documentary on them.
Yeah, okay, well. I'm going to bring that. Somebody actually did.
Actually, there is an Avicii documentary.
And there's also a documentary about 80s DJs.
Huh. And you were one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm in it. Hey, somebody stole the turntables out of my trunk. I was, you know, one of my better moments.
Did the girls like the DJs back then? Because I always feel like that's the strategy in the 90s and 2000s. But
it
like back
was.
In the 80s, that was the turn on.
Oh
thing.
Yeah,
I can get you backstage at the bar.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Mr. DJ.
Especially if you had a cool DJ booth. You had like
what's a cool DJ booth?
The one that's kind of like in the middle of the room and it's on a riser. And then there's but the problem is for every DJ there were hangers on. There were guys that are standing around
just waiting to
polo shirts with the pop
pick
collars.
Off the people.
Play my
right.
song.
Yeah, and they're like they're just hanging out doing nothing. Hey, let me do one of the mixes again. No, you cannot.
Did you do the thing where you had the one headphone off the ear?
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of rocking.
You have pictures
of
this.
I wish you had video or something. We got to see that.
I'm sure there is something.
DJ Khan spinning for you tonight.
What was your name? Your
it's
DJ
late.
Name.
It's Monday, which means it's ladies' night. I'll meet you backstage. I got a coupon for 2 free drinks.
That is how I envision it.
Snowball! Which means something totally different now. Weird, yeah. But it's a yeah. I don't know. It was weird. It was. I wasn't really cut out for that life. But there were, but we got paid a disgusting amount
cash.
Of money.
It was always I had friends
so
in high school.
$500 bucks in cash.
We did that, and it was very, I mean, very lucrative. It was a great thing.
Like a 3-hour shift.
Right. Sheesh. One of them became like a professional DJ in like clubs for years. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess it worked out.
But there's nothing worse, and I did learn this. There is nothing worse than choosing a song and then everybody leaves the dance floor.
You're like, whoops.
And, you're like, oh,
and then you're committed because you can't change.
Oh,
well,
man.
I guess as a DJ, you can. Couldn't you just kind of like
you got to go fast.
It?
You got to go fast.
Yeah.
And you got to go find something, you know. Like the Edith Piaf version of To Sir With Love is probably a bad idea to play that in the middle. Hey, everybody!
I got to see photos of Road DJing back in the day.
I wanted to build a hat that had the headphones built into it. That was kind of my...
What?
It was going to be my invention. Was a hat, like sort of like a, you know, a floppy, almost like cabby kind of hat, because that was big in the 1980s, that had the you know, like the actual ear pieces. Built in.
Too bad they didn't have Shark Tank back then. You could have
done that.
They have helmets like that now. I mean, yeah, that could have been you.
Damn it. You would have made it.
Lori
missed
Grenier.
Your opportunity. Lori,
listen, Lori, I know you're Chicagoan. You're a Chicago girl. You like this idea. You ever been to PS Chicago? All right, so what we should do is we're going to put the headphones into the hat.
You're a telemarketer. It's a sell. It's big. It's huge.
I'll give you exactly $5 for that business.
I'm out.
All right. All right, let's take a quick time out, and then we shall return right back here. All right, kids, that does it for another day of Broadcast Insolence on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We want to thank everybody for putting up with the stream show. Although, I'm just going to tell you this right now. This stream, this whatever we're doing on the stream...
Yeah.
It's not going to catch on. I just want to say that. I just feel it right now.
You're not feeling it.
When people go, oh, it's going to catch on. I don't think so.
No.
I could
come out early and just say that.
I notice when we walk around here, because there's so many podcasters who work in the building now.
Yeah.
There's always 15 people in a studio wearing suits. And then, you know.
And they think they own the radio station also. Like, yeah, I'm a podcaster. Get out of my way. Who are you? Are
skinny
you on,
ties.
You want the air around here?
Right. Skinny ties. And
big attitudes.
There's one person with a bone in their nose in the studio that they're talking to.
If you notice that the podcast crews are 3x the crews of a radio station crew.
Yes, there's about 20 people, and they're all filming, and they're all Instagram, and they're all tweeting, and they're all Facebooking every second of it. They got different angles of them filming themselves talking about whatever the hell they're talking about.
I think
sounds
we're missing
so
something. I think we've. See, this is why our idea of unconstructed nothingness,
right,
almost an oxygen addiction is what this is. I think those are, they seem to be busy, and they were like, and we happen to have 1,500 different followers.
Right. Well, they're very niche-y, a lot of them, you know, like they've got very narrow targets, and it works for them.
Well,
I would assume.
Nobody loves hearing about their podcast more than the people doing
who have the podcast. And
but, you know, best part about the podcast is anybody can have it. Worst part about a podcast is anyone can have their own podcast.
Is that the podcast music background?
There are many of these. And you know, a bunch of them are like former NPR people anyway.
Uh-huh. Let's do that.
Like Justin, who is very talented. Mm-hmm. But then there's the second run people from NPR too. They were in the NPR in Peoria, not the NPR in Chicago or New York.
Uh-huh. And they all sort of talk like this.
Grouped with people who always dreamt about being on the radio, but never on the radio. But now they're in front of a mic, so they're experts.
I have something to say. Don't you want to hear? That's what I feel like they all... That's the vibe I see. And they're all wearing turtlenecks.
Yeah, there's the turtleneck crew.
I was just reading a very interesting pamphlet about the Mbuti of the South Kalahari. And how their ritual of drinking the urine from the bladder of the springbok.
Have you seen the documentary on Hulu about drinking the urine?
Oh, gee.
Let's take some phone calls.
Let's take some phone calls.
Like, how would anyone call in for that?
I don't know.
Right, that they don't get it.
So I noticed no one's calling.
And you can sort of feel like the panic voice. Okay, we're gonna.
What?
Let's just play a minute long section of music, and we'll come back.
Perhaps I should give the phone number out again.
Did we get the phone number right?
I don't know why people are not calling. But it is very interesting because, you know, I thought the Springbok is such a beautiful animal.
And we do have 1,500 followers.
What's on Instagram?
The phone's still not ringing.
Maybe you should ping your followers.
Yeah, let's check the wires
yes,
on
why
this.
Don't we? Yes, could somebody please put out on Twitter the phone number? And perhaps they will call us.
Maybe that one got too niche. Some people shouldn't have a podcast.
Let's scrap that idea moving forward.
I think one of you guys should come up with a fake podcast and just see if you can follow it.
I also have a needlepoint podcast that we can discuss. Proper needlepointing and proper needles.
All right.
So that's
all right. That's enough. That is enough. It's the only job. This is so crazy. It's like going back. This is like, you know, when you'd play radio in your room when you were a kid, and so many people in our business did that, right? Uh-huh. You put a sock on a hanger and you pretend you were talking into it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then you get bored with it, and then you start playing with the sock. It got weird.
You had a weird childhood, right?
Yeah. I did. I was very alone as a child. People didn't want to touch me. That was with that whole thing, so I had that, that kind
and
of a deal.
You didn't want to touch them either.
Right. I wasn't touched until I was like 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Bubble
and
boy.
That was by a doctor.
Oh. Do you want to talk about that?
But only into the sock.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so I think that we now find ourselves in this weird world of, and then when the show's over, it's like, it's the same thing, it's a TV problem.
It is.
All right, well, I believe that tomorrow, do we have to do this crap again tomorrow?
Or, I think we have a full show
tomorrow, Socks right? have the day off, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So when we, I think the new bit is we have to play this music behind everything that we do.
For a full hour.
See if anyone notices.
Well, we discuss football. We can have it. I want this with OB. Oh, OB, is OB going to be on the program tomorrow?
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
All right.
And
this will calm OB while we're talking to him.
This will work when he's pounding the desk. Right. Like, and another thing!
Cody Parkey! All right. That's it. Good night from Studio A. We'll see you right back here tomorrow at 3.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.